This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Secretary of State Colin Powell today has already toured one site of last night's deadly bombings in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. He said that attack was well planned and highlighted the need to keep the pressure on in the continuing war on terrorism.
The damage you see here today will not deter the United States and I'm sure will not deter Saudi Arabia in our mutual effort to go after this kind of terrorism and roll it up. Go after their finances, go after their information systems, their intelligence systems.
Powell said the explosion, quote, has all the fingerprints of an Al-Qaeda operation. Yesterday's car bomb attacks on three housing complexes catering largely to Westerners killed at least 29 people, including several Americans. On the home front, meanwhile, President Bush is out on the stump once again today promoting what he's calling economic security. He told an Indianapolis audience earlier today additional tax cuts will stimulate the struggling economy and put people back to work. He also dismissed charges from Democrats those tax cuts will unfairly tilt in favor of the most wealthy Americans.
People you'll hear all the time in Washington, they'll say, well, this is only for a certain class of people. That's the old, tired, stale class warfare argument.
Bush said, in his opinion, most small businesses create the most new jobs in America, and he argued his tax cut plan of about $550 billion helps small businesses. Tennessee Governor Phil Bredesen has now requested federal disaster assistance for 25 more counties following last week's severe weather. Bredesen also asked for expanded relief for six counties included in last week's presidential declaration, which already covered 20 counties. Bredesen is asking 14 counties be made eligible for individual assistance. He's also asked 11 more counties be made eligible for individual and public assistance. The presidential declaration would make 45 of Tennessee's 95 counties eligible for some federal assistance. Thunderstorms, tornadoes, hail, and floods claimed 17 lives and destroyed or damaged more than 5,000 homes and businesses in the state. Damage is already estimated at more than $1 billion.
What's the big news in allergy medicine this season? It's a new name in non-drowsy relief, Allivert. New Allivert starts dissolving the instant it touches your tongue, without water. So you can take Allivert inside, outside, in your car, wherever you are. Allivert is non-drowsy 24-hour relief in a quick-dissolving tablet. New Allivert. Allergy medicine you can take right when you need it, wherever you are. Allivert. Use as directed.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time party training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The IRS is reportedly taking a new approach now to trying to collect a portion of the $706 billion in estimated uncollected taxes. USA Today says Congress has given its preliminary stamp of approval to begin using private collection agencies to contact about 6 million taxpayers with delinquent accounts. Florida Senator Bill Nelson, meanwhile, is introducing a measure in Congress today banning many of the unsolicited junk messages clogging electronic mailboxes in America. It would require email marketers to allow recipients to opt out of getting future messages. The worst offenders could face federal racketeering charges.
Free. Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
Latest U.S.-backed Middle East peace effort has already hit a stumbling block. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says he won't hold any talks with Palestinian leaders about dismantling Jewish settlements anytime in the foreseeable future. That hardline stance comes despite calls from Secretary of State Colin Powell and others in the international community for conciliatory gestures on both sides. More from reporter Steve Moore.
U.S. officials have played up Colin Powell's visit to the Middle East to promote the so-called roadmap peace plan for the region, hailing the decision by the Israeli Prime Minister to meet his newly appointed Palestinian counterpart Mahmoud Abbas. But Ariel Sharon's latest remarks appear to have dampened hopes of a breakthrough in the near future. The roadmap envisages Israel curbing settlement expansion in the West Bank and Gaza, and Palestinians disarming militant groups to pave the way for statehood by 2005. But Mr. Sharon has told the Jerusalem Post newspaper that settlements are not an issue on the horizon. Steve Mort, Washington.
And I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Liger with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you so much, everybody. Wow, we are out in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I want to say hello to everybody that has joined us, although they're hearing this about a half a second later. But welcome to everybody that's come to the Cloud Cliff Bakery. It's out on 2nd Street if you still want to join us. It's a wonderful venue, great food, great people. And, we're going to turn this down a little because I'm getting kind of a feedback. All right, Jalene Jordan says she cannot hear me. So we'll have to deal with that part of it. But Jalene Jordan is with me, but she is in Miami, Florida. I know a lot of you are disappointed because you wanted to see her, and I would have loved to have seen her out here. Unfortunately, just didn't come together. But it's a pleasure to be back in Santa Fe, and we're broadcasting nationally. We're broadcasting internationally. So we will think globally. We will act locally. And this is an incredible community out here. It's been very receptive to the Peter Werbe Show. And, I am getting this feedback. Yeah, maybe we're going to have to cut that off for right now. Yeah, all right. It's unfortunate. Can you folks hear me now without that? Well, yeah, because it's still broadcast. How about right now? Can you hear me? Well, you're going to just have to watch my lips move for a little while. Oh, I know. Well, or the speaker is on in the back. The speaker is on in the back. All right, we've got a lot of guests. Let's see if Jalene can bring Jalene in here. I suppose they're probably working on that back at the network. But I actually did want to bring some of our live audience here at the Cloud Cliff Bakery.
I'm here, and, Peter, by the way.
Jalene Jordan, welcome.
Oh, hi.
Let's give a big hand to Jalene Jordan. She's all better now, too. Yeah.
Oh, I miss everyone. I miss everyone. I love Santa Fe, and the next time I'm going to be there, I promise.
Okay. Well, I wanted to visit something. I mean, maybe this is... You'll have to tell me. No, you would never tell me that anything is inappropriate, would you, Jalene?
No, but you know I would.
This is addressed... I mean, men could take up this question as well, but this is addressed in many ways to the women in the audience, okay? All of a sudden, since George W. Bush's appearance, you know, that stage-managed million-dollar unnecessary flight to the USS Abraham Lincoln?
Yes.
Where he... Actually, that boat was about 30 miles out, and if he would have waited an hour, he could have come back and just walked on board. Well, there's this photograph of George W. Bush. How many of you have seen that? Now, the thing is, well, not very many people. Now, all of a sudden, all these women are starting to say that George W. Bush is a hottie.
Oh, stop it.
That he's sexy.
Oh.
That this guy is so hot. Because not only does he look hot in this military uniform, but also he's a bad boy.
Who are these women?
He's a bad boy.
Who are these men?
But because he did what he wasn't supposed to do. He said he took that that flight because he wanted to, right?
Well, yeah. Pretty much like the rest of his life. He does everything because he wants to.
I don't know. I'm getting these looks. What do you think?
I think he's repulsive. Forget it.
Yeah. Now here is the element that I was thinking that might be inappropriate. If you look down at the area that, I don't know, how can we say this? How can we say this and be delicate? His package.
It's the second chakra, I think.
The second chakra.
Right.
There, that's good. Right. Well, people are saying that he stuffed socks down the front of his pants before he got on that plane.
Peter, are you getting this information?
Well, this is all over the internet.
Oh, my.
But get this. Here's what really happened. I'm just barking up the wrong tree. None of you have heard this at all? Or do you not want to hear it? Are there any children here? No. Well, here's what a former fighter pilot wrote in. That Bush was too stupid to realize his parachute harness crotch straps were on and he's supposed to take them off as soon as he hit the deck.
Oh.
So that is why there's this bulge.
Because it kind of tightens around the legs there.
It tightens around the legs.
Second chakra area.
All right. I'm totally in the dark. You're my producer, Jillian Jordan. What do we got going here?
Well, we have, basically, you have a couple of people. Is Jim Tur there yet?
Jim Tur?
Yeah.
Jim Tur? No, Jim Tur is not here. At least I don't see him. We'll have Bill Althaus on a little later. He has this incredible alternative energy technology service. And a lot of what you hear here is going to sound kind of specific to Santa Fe. But I know we're broadcasting nationally. I know we're broadcasting internationally. And what we're actually going to present is a model. I mean, because it can be done in Santa Fe. It can be done in Detroit or Miami, where you are, Jillian, or little towns in Montana and California, or big towns anywhere in the country.
Right.
Is that right now we're locked into those paradigms that have brought us disaster. Brought us disaster politically, brought us disaster militarily, as we see the empire needing to extend itself overseas in order to, at least what the people in power see is in order to maintain things as they are. And when we start thinking about alternatives, is it just yak? Is it just talk? Is it just something that I can say on the radio? Because it's easy. Anybody can talk. But there's people here doing things.
Oh, my gosh. And Santa Fe is such a wonderful town that has taken a hold of us and our show. And, I mean, they're just down with the program there in Santa Fe.
They are. And one other thing, too. Did you know who is going to be financing Michael Moore's next documentary?
Was it Miramax?
It's Miramax, which, of course, is owned by Disney, the Walt Disney Company.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is incredible. Michael Moore won the Academy, Best Documentary Academy Award, and it set all these right-wingers just over the edge, which is good. I mean, it's a good film, and it speaks truth to power, as we say. But it's also a good film. It's funny. It's it's well worth seeing. And it is, I think, still the longest film still in distribution.
Because it was going to go to video, and then it came back.
Yeah, it was going to be available
in
DVD and video in March, and now they're not doing it till November. Same thing with his book, Stupid White Men and Other Sorry Excuses Other Excuses for the Sorry State of the Union.
Yes.
It was going to go in paper, but it still remains in hardback. It's actually slipped to number 7. So, folks, if you've got a present,
I went out and bought it last week.
You did.
And I spent the weekend reading a lot of it. He's great. Michael
Yeah, he is.
It's funny.
He's good. All right. So what he was looking at, of course, was the roots of violence in this country. And in a lot of ways, he didn't even come to conclusions other than the fact that you have fear that's manipulated by the people in power. Or even on a lower level, just to get ratings for television stations and what have you.
You know, and maybe a few too many guns along the way.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? You haven't seen it, right?
No.
Okay. Well, in what he shows in Canada, people have all these guns as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
So in Japan, they play all these violent video games. And so what's peculiar to the American culture, the American psyche? Well, that's what he's talking about. Well, he's really going out there on a limb now. He's going to be talking about the connections between the Bush family and the Bin Laden family.
Oh, I know. This is. He should be watching his back for sure.
He should be watching his back big time, right? Don't fly in small planes. All the right wingers are now calling for a boycott of Disney because Miramax is a subsidiary of Disney, right?
Yeah, and Disney owns a lot of radio stations around the country too.
Yeah. Well, how
big.
About this? This is connecting the dots, of course, as we always talk about. Hey, by the way, if you want to call in, we're more than welcome to do it. 1-800-TALK-YES. It's Peter Werby broadcasting live, Santa Fe, New Mexico, the Cloud Cliff Bakery on 2nd Street. It's just a few blocks east of Cerrillos. Hey, I went by that street where Cerrillos and St. Francis, because every Friday. Are you folks still have that peace vigil every Friday at Cerrillos and St. Francis? Oh, well, okay. It's still happening. All right. A few fists go in the air. But, all right, let's go back to Michael Moore. Right now, Mickey's Millions are going to be financing Michael Moore's new documentary. It's going to claim a link. What do you mean, claim a link, when you read these things, between Bush and the Bin Laden family? And this isn't Osama, although the Bin Laden family, hey, you know, it's his kin. They're not real happy with that, with him or his
connection.
Actions, to
yeah.
be sure. Actually, though, on September 12th, I think it was the day after, 2001, September 12th, 2001, United States FBI agents collected every Bin Laden family member in the United States, took them to Washington, and then flew them back to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
No questions, no interrogation, nothing.
Such I mean,
there's
service,
no reason,
the Bin Laden
well, there's no reason to think. There's no reason to think that they were involved in anything. But why did they do that? Their own safety?
Their connection to the Carlyle Group and the Bush family. And I'm sure that Michael Moore will tell us all about it.
Yeah, and I'm sure that'll be part of it. Now let me think. That was the Bin Laden family.
Michael Moore.
It would have been interesting. Michael Moore, would have been interesting to ask him a few questions. All right, Michael Moore now going to illustrate, demonstrate this connection between the Bush family and the Bin Laden family. Well, here's another release. Let's see. Where this is from a television station, I don't know where. I think it's in your part of the world, Jolene, in Florida. Walt Disney World and Disneyland have no-fly security zones like only a few other potential targets in the United States, according to a local 6 News report. So they have no-fly zones above Disney World and Disneyland.
No kidding. I had no idea.
You can't fly over there. Federal officials have permanently closed the airspace above Walt Disney Company properties in Florida and California on the eve of the Iraq War to protect against terrorist attack. And a 24-hour security zone put Disney on par with a select few other potential targets, including George W. Bush's ranch and nuclear submarine bases.
I was going to say, what about nuclear power plants?
No.
Okay. Well, we have some nuclear experts down there who can tell us all about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so get this. Do you think he's going to, or not he, but they are going to continue those no-fly zones after they're crossing the Bush gang?
Oh, that's true.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that
that's
is.
That's pretty interesting. All right. Well, you know, one of the things, we're kind of slightly goofing around here, and I tend to do that more when we're out in public. But, boy, I'm just looking at this headline. Attacks in Saudi Arabia killed at least 20. Including 7 Americans. And Colin Powell, who's visiting there, in fact, visiting the site. This is in Saudi Arabia. This was an attack by suicide bombers. And Bush vows to find the killers of 7 Americans and many others. And Powell says that the attacks aimed at Westerners in Saudi Arabia have all the fingerprints of al-Qaeda. Now, you just don't know where this is all going or all coming from. Because al-Qaeda, what is it? I mean, is this actually a coherent organization that has still a coherent system of funding and operations? Or is it just a code word for the boogeyman, this dispersed group of people that take out their hatred for the United States and the United States' activities in the Middle East on a freelance basis?
Yeah, and there's so many, you know, there are so many factions. Like we say, the little baby Bin Ladens, rather, are being born every day.
And I was horrified when I saw this. I assume you were as well. I'm sure everyone here was as well. People in their homes in Saudi Arabia where, you know, they're foreign workers and suddenly attacked in this manner. Yet I was thinking, on an ethical plane, what's the difference? Well, we've got some big theme music coming at us. All right. I want to talk a little about that when we come back. Peter Werby Show, live in Santa Fe, the Cloud Cliff Bakery. Live audience here. Come on down and join us. It's a wonderful venue. We're going to get some of you folks in this audience on the air. We'll be right back after these. 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, we're still national. We're still international. So please come down and join us either in person, on the radio, or however you...
John, there's something I must tell you. I want to be free.
Oh, Helen, you want to be free with the wind in your hair, life without care?
No, I want to be free of those overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
You want Freelax, the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just two caplets.
Oh, John, I just wish everything could be that dependable.
Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative, look for it in the bright green box. Use only as directed.
Free. Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Tired of the same old conservative blather on talk radio? Want a different slant on politics in the world than what's offered up by right-wing wacko talk show hosts? Then join me, Peter Werby, 2 to 5 p.m. It's my new time. That's Eastern Time. Weekdays for an alternative not often heard on the AM band. If you want to hear a talk show host that opposes Bush's wars, challenges corporate rule, defends the interests of working people, the environment, and a woman's right to choose, then join me, Peter Werby, in my new time slot, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Don't sweat the petty stuff and don't pet the sweaty stuff. How's that for sage advice? Well, it's better than being called stupid and immoral all morning long, isn't it? Join me, Nancy Skinner, for Radio Evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, a program where we discuss our problems and how to solve them in a positive way without having to disown your in-laws, give up your career goals, and generally alienate everybody you know.
That's Nancy Skinner's Radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Listening to The Peter Werby Show. Tell us what's on your mind at 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. Jalene Jordan, welcome back.
Thank you.
Can you hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
That's good. Sounds a little low in my headphones, but that's quite all right. No, it's fine. It's fine. Some of the times we've talked about, we say we don't need to connect the dots. It's all just there.
Right.
Normally, I print out tons of stories and bring them. I have this big console that I set it all out on, and I grab from him and read portions of it. But I don't have much room here, and I do have some stories, and it seems to have all gotten lost. But I went down to La Fonda Hotel. I should say, by the way, we're broadcasting live from Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're at the Cloudcliff Bakery. Welcome people to come down. And if people want to ask a question or make a comment on the air, you can. We got another microphone set here. 2:30, we're going to be
talking. Yeah, don't be shy.
I don't even know what time to say it is. At 33 minutes after this hour, we're going to be talking with Carol Oppenheimer. She's a lawyer and labor activist and was part of the people that
actually
put together
Peter,
Santa Fe's.
You know what? That's what? In 2 hours.
That's in 2 hours.
Yeah, we're having a time thing here. Yeah.
We're having a time thing.
It'll
right.
be 2:30 your time.
Oh, 2:30. Okay,
it's
I'm totally
12:30
confused.
12:30 your time.
Yeah, right. All right. That's right. So it's just 12:30 now. All right, so then for sure, maybe what we'll do is we'll get Bill Althaus on. Because
sure.
We'll talk with him in a few minutes. Anyways, this is one of these days that all you have to do is turn to the front cover of the New York Times, and this show almost becomes unnecessary. It's all just right here. Of course, I never finished my thought, did I, about those explosions in Saudi Arabia where is upwards of 20 people were killed, and how horrifying that is. And Bush says that he is going to bring the perpetrators to justice. And I wonder what people think, what the ethical difference is between those kind of bombings and the bombings that were just carried out against Iraq, or in that matter, for any war in which civilians die. And usually what is said, well, hey, wait a minute, those people are collateral damage, you know. On the other hand, these people are targeting civilians. You know, when you're dead, you're dead, and I suppose intent has something to do with it. I mean, if you hurt somebody by accident, but when the United States makes war, or any country makes war, they make a certain assessment, and one of the assessments they know is there's going to be X number of collateral damage. That is, ordinary people, civilians, farmers, urban dwellers, they're going to wind up chopped to bits, dead in a way, almost if they're lucky, if not, severely injured, maimed, cut to bit by cluster bombs and what have you. And so that's as calculated. I would say, I don't know, what do you think, Julian?
I think it's just an angry and violent world.
Yeah. You sound resigned.
I don't know, Peter. You know how I go back and forth.
Well, let's, all right, so looking at the front page of the New York Times, there's a new, even the language here, new overseer arrives in Iraq in U.S. shuffle. If you go into the inside of the paper, things are just going, are getting worse and worse there. There's a cholera epidemic in Basra. There is it's completely lawless in the big cities. There's shootings once an hour in Baghdad. Lootings continue.
Carjackings.
And there comes L. Paul Bremer III. He is the new proconsul, the new viceroy of Iraq. And it's so bizarre. He's standing there in a suit, you know.
Yeah, that is pretty
bizarre. And he's with his predecessor. I mean, how quickly these guys come and go. And by what authority did they wind up being the proconsul or the viceroy or whatever? I don't know. Do they have a specific name for him? I think they do. Let's see. They just call him the new civilian administrator for Iraq.
So I think Jay Garner, wasn't he starting to make some waves saying that things weren't going so well? Maybe that's why he's out.
Well, things weren't going very well.
Right, exactly. But he, you know, G.W. Bush and his administration, they don't want people making public light of that.
No, I suppose they don't. Yeah. Now, right next to this photograph of Paul Bremer, what do they call him? He's Paul. They call him, or no, they have a nickname for Bremer.
Yeah,
they don't call him by, anyway, that's irrelevant. Right next to it, plan to loosen network rules goes to Federal Communications Commission, would ease limits on station ownership. So what we're looking at here, folks, is Pravda, essentially. We're looking at if you think it's bad now, this unitary voice of power, that we don't even call it media, we call it the medium. Just wait till this goes into effect. All right, we'll be right back. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, we're broadcasting live at the Cloudcliff Bakery in Santa Fe. Come on and join us. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 300 workers at a plastics factory in Omaha, Nebraska, got a visit from President Bush yesterday. The visit was part of the president's three-day trip around the country to stump for his half-trillion-dollar tax cut. But Bush's visit to Airlite Plastics ended up costing the workers. They've been told they won't be paid for the time spent listening to Bush's speech, as they weren't making plastic. Factory managers say the workers can either make up the lost wages by working on Saturday or forfeit the day's pay.
Corporations that commit crimes in California could soon face the same fate as criminals who are repeat offenders. A tough new bill authored by State Senator Gloria Romero of Los Angeles would extend the state's three strikes and you're out policy to corporations. The bill recently cleared committee and is expected to sail through the full Senate later this month.
France is at a standstill today as more than a million public sector workers strike to show their dismay with government pension reform plans. The country's airports and public transportation are all but shut down. Schools are closed. There is no mail delivery, and government offices are shuttered. The walkout is in protest of plans to raise the retirement age, which the government claims is necessary to offset a multi-billion-dollar shortfall in the national pension program.
Employees of the Stanley Works Corporation in New Britain, Connecticut, have downed tools to protest their company's latest contract offer. The toolmaker employs more workers as subcontractors than as regular employees, and they say they'll stay off the job until they win protection against outsourcing to overseas operations in Mexico, Thailand, and China. At its height, Stanley Works employed some 10,000 workers in New Britain. Now only hundreds remain. The company got in trouble last year after its board of directors tried to dodge federal taxes by reincorporating in Bermuda. A union campaign and congressional hearings into tax shelters reversed those plans.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. We're broadcasting live from the Cloudcliff Bakery in Santa Fe, New Mexico. If you're listening to KTRC, you can just come on over here and say hello. It's on 2nd Street, just, what is it, east of Cerrillos, right, folks? And also, we want to invite people that are in the audience. We were going to talk with Bill Althaus now, but we're having just a teeny bit of technical problems, so Bill is going to be on the air with us at the top of next hour. In the meantime, though, we, as we always do in this time segment, here is Jim Hightower, America's favorite populist on The Peter Werby Show.
Even by today's big money standards, $1 million is a lot to pay for a TV ad. But George W. spared no expense in putting together an ad for his upcoming election campaign. Unfortunately, he stuck us taxpayers with the bill. His ad has already run as news on all the networks, and we'll see snippets of it again and again next year when George goes campaigning. But Bush spent more than taxpayer dollars to make this ad for his personal political advancement. He also spent the integrity of the American presidency, using our brave soldiers as his political props, then trying to lie to we the people about his shameful action. The scene was the USS Lincoln, an aircraft carrier that was returning to San Diego from action in Bush's Iraqi war. George's political hack, Karl Rove, thought it would be a PR coup to have Bush greet the troops. But he quickly shifted from greeting troops to manipulating them. He dressed W up in a military flight suit, put him in a fighter jet, and swooshed him out to the carrier, making a dramatic, made-for-TV tailhook landing. What imagery and irony. Here was America's most famous Vietnam draft dodger, a guy who used his family connections to keep from fighting for his country, now strutting around posing as some top gun. Caught in this crass act of politicizing the war and the troops, the White House did what it's best known for doing. It lied. Bush, they said, had to take the jet because the carrier was too far out at sea to be reached by helicopter. This turns out to be sheer bushwah. In fact, the carrier was so close to shore that it had to be turned around to keep the TV cameras from catching the San Diego coastline in the background as Bush landed. This is Jim Hightower saying, imagine Eisenhower or Kennedy or even Bush the Elder, all of whom were real war heroes, resorting to such a cheesy political stunt. George W. can dress up like a top gun, but he's nothing but a tin horn.
Thank you very much. That's Jim Hightower and the Peter Werbe Show, and Jim Hightower, America's favorite populist. And you can go to jimhightower.com. Jalene Jordan, welcome back from Miami, Florida.
Thank you. And he has he did a live broadcast there from the Cloud Cliff Bakery, didn't he?
I think so, but I know Greg Pallas did, Amy Goodman did. This is a real nice venue, and it has a real history of progressive people coming out here. So I feel pleased to be here. All right, we're inviting people from the audience live at the Cloud Cliff to come up and say hello. And with us is Tara from Santa Fe. Welcome, Tara, to the Peter Werbe Show. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yeah.
I wanted to say that Amy was here, like you said, Amy Goodman. And this morning I was watching her show, and Gore Vidal was on there.
Real?
And
wow, he's great.
He exposed our government and the Shrub for doing 9/11, and that's a pretty big jump. And he explained as well that this constitutional law, which has been missing, has to be implemented by the people.
I know.
And that right now, if we don't do it, who else will?
Well, I think that's very important. And we gave George W. Bush a real run for his money to oppose this war in Iraq. One of the reasons I think that they invaded Iraq, I mean, there's probably 110 reasons why they did. One of them is to say, and I've said this a lot on this broadcast, is that they cannot allow the people to make the decisions about what happens in this country. It has to remain in the hands of the elite. So there's a battle here, as there always has been, to establish democracy. Nation states, for the almost all of their histories, and still probably 90% of them, are not democratic. But a democratic revolution happened 300 years ago in the world, and we had ours, and France had theirs, and this is it. It's the people of the world versus the elites of the world. They've screwed it up. They haven't done a good job. All you have to do is look around the world to realize that.
Well, the thing that Gore was saying is that we do not have a democracy, really. We established a republic.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is that we have allowed the elite to create ignorance about what these terms mean. And the facts are missing. In the 50s, we became an empire, really, globally, in this country. And in our schools, we took geography out of the classroom. And indeed, he went right to Bush and said that Bush had never stepped one foot in Europe until he became president.
That's right.
And Europeans and other people in the world consider us really stupid in terms of our education.
They do.
Yeah, they
do. He went back to Ben Franklin, and he said that in 1789 in Philadelphia, while he was making the Constitution, he stated, "I don't like this Constitution." He said, "It's got too many errors." But at that time, the Bill of Rights didn't happen. And George Mason refused to sign because he squawked about getting a Bill of Rights and getting the people active. The thing about our Constitution that's lacking in this country is that the people are not involved, and it is required. We are obliged with our rights to defend them within and without, just like our military says, we will defend the enemy within and without. And we have done not that. Arundhati Roy from India was on Amy Goodman yesterday.
Wonderful.
And what she said is that the American people are finally showing the rest of the world that they're waking up by the demonstrations. She said we had 30 million people worldwide on February 15th that said not in our name worldwide, and the Americans participated big time. We had millions.
Sure we did. I was in New York City on that day.
Now, she said, we have to go to a bigger stretch. We've done this for ourselves. Mm-hmm. As the world's people, we've said not in our name. Now we have to regather our thoughts and our strategy, and we have to take the nuts and bolts apart of this killing machine called Empire, and we need to start now at the top. And so then your cohort, Mike Malloy,
said last night,
he said not only can we not impeach a non-president, he is not a president, he was a fraudulently imposed president by this elite, that we can only not do that, but we must remove him. And he actually said permanently. And I don't know the meaning of that, but
I am saying
there is something that has been signed into law called NASARA, National Economic Security and Reformation Act. It's known all over Washington, D.C. as the Reformation Act. It ends the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and the federal government for fraud. In a 1993 Supreme Court case, it was determined that those three entities were guilty of fraud against farmers who were being foreclosed on their property.
I think this is going to take us real far afield. Let me say thank you. I was thinking, as you spoke, Tara, you should have a talk show.
I was just going to say
think
the same
thing.
Isn't she good? Let's give Tara a hand.
Get this woman her own show.
That's right. All right, Tara, thank you so much.
Thank you
for joining us.
Tara now.
All right.
She's connecting some serious dots.
Yeah, right. And when I get when I hear people that say to me, "Gee, I'm the only person that that thinks like this," or "I'm the I thought I was alone in the world with feeling discomfort about the way this society is run," it's just everywhere. And I think that's what happened during the anti-war movement against the Iraq War, that it really showed that this wasn't that somehow the right wingers, they don't like the big cities. I don't get it. They always say, "Oh, that's just Detroit," or "That's just New York," or "That's just L.A." But this was a movement that stretched into every little town in America. Not every little town, but into small towns all over. And that is in place still. The people that went out in these demonstrations in little towns in North Carolina and Minnesota and Oregon, they're still there. And in a sense, they're waiting. I mean, they're not. And this is not a centralized movement, so there's not waiting for the leader to say, "Okay, we've got to move into action on this." Although there are those groups like MoveOn.org and is that the one that Ben Cohen from Ben and Jerry's is part of?
I think he's part of that one.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they're beginning to talk about the transformation of this into a peace and social justice movement. So that it's not, that it adds social justice to it. Because the old saying about no peace, no justice, right?
Right.
No, it's the other way around. In fact, it works both ways. No justice, no peace. No peace, no justice. Yeah, that works.
That does work.
Well, anyways, we haven't taken any calls. Anybody that wants to call in at 1-800-TALK-YES, please feel free to do so. And as usual, we don't put out specific questions, so we'd ask you to call in with comments on some of the things that have been said. And one of the things that I would ask you, the horror on the part of the and on our part as well, but also shared by people like George Bush, Colin Powell, at this bombing that just occurred. What ultimately is the ethical difference between the twisted rubble of those living quarters of foreign workers, and what happened all over Iraq?
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah. And Afghanistan and a million other places.
Yeah, exactly. And before that.
And you know what I always say? People have 1,000 rationalizations why civilians have to die. I'll tell you. These people that did that, the people that attacked the World Trade Center, they didn't say, "We're the most evil people in the world and we just want to go out and kill and bloody people." They had
great explanations for why they did this. Great purposes, trans-historical reasoning, religious justifications.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it would be something just kind of in passing, you know.
No, and so, but it doesn't wash. Your grand schemes, your grand rationalizations, your reasons that wind up with people dead just don't make it for me.
Yeah, right.
Well, again, if there's anybody in this audience that wants to join us, or Willem, we have the proprietor of this fine establishment, Willem Malton, and Willem is doing tons of stuff. He's a filmmaker. And I don't even have your bio in front of me, Willem, so maybe you could immodestly tell us some of the things you've accomplished in your life, because they're pretty impressive.
Well, I'm a filmmaker. I did a movie about Los Alamos, and that's really what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, sure. Los Alamos, down the road here from Santa Fe, where we're broadcasting.
Yeah, people are looking for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but really, next door to Santa Fe, there's Los Alamos, and that's the source of proliferation worldwide, really. And it's happening right here. If people want to find weapons of mass destruction, they just have to come and look here. And that's what I want to say to the people of the world.
Well, Willem, you told me an amazing story about, here we're talking about these fears we have about the Indian atomic weapons, the Pakistani weapons, the Chinese development of them. And it looks like they learned it just right down the road from here in Santa Fe.
We had a nuclear physicist here visiting the week before last. His name is Zia Mayam. He's a nuclear physicist at Princeton University, and he's a Pakistani. And so he knows a lot about the Pakistani program. And he assured us that the Pakistani nuclear weapon and the Indian nuclear weapons are unsinkable without Los Alamos. And also, he laid out a relationship between Pakistani nuclear weapons and North Korea nuclear weapons. North Korea knows how to do the missile technology, and Pakistan knows how to do the nuclear technology. And it all comes from here. It comes from Los Alamos, and nobody's questioning that. And I think this is really the thing that the people of the world need to focus on.
Well, Willem, why don't you hold on for 1 minute? Because I want to ask you, we're going to go far afield because you're involved in so many things, and I want to talk to you about this organic wheat co-op that you're part of. But we have a caller, Steve from Framingham, Massachusetts. Steve, hi. It's Peter Werby, and you're on the air with us. Jalene Jordan as well. We're in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Hi. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
I talked to you last week. I meant to mention I have my own topic, and I guess it was touched upon a little bit earlier there, and I wanted to mention that when I first started getting really heavy into politics maybe a year and a half ago, and I do quite a bit of reading, I think the Internet is definitely a growing medium. When you look at some of these computer platforms like Windows 98, 98 is obsolete, and that was only 5 years ago. So
sure.
This is growing, and I wanted to ask a favor. Perhaps I have a BuzzFlash T-shirt, and I wondered, does IE America Radio have T-shirts available?
We don't, Jalene.
No, but that's a great idea.
I think that's the way to go, is to get the word out. Just wearing a T-shirt around town, for me, people see the URL on the T-shirt, and they may go home and check it out and dig a little further like I did a while back. And I think that's the way to get the message out, especially to a lot of people who are faced with... For a big example, I tuned into a rock station the other day. It's pretty heavy rock, and the DJ was talking about why should we even question having under God in the Pledge of Allegiance, mm-hmm. And then I couldn't believe it for a rock radio.
Yeah, really.
next on, we're going to play Marilyn Manson, you know. So
he needs to stick with rock.
And I did some investigation, and the rock radio station, of course, is supported by Clear Channel, you know.
There you go. Well, I'll tell you, Steve, people first should know that we're talking about a website, buzzflash.com. And one thing, if you get that, you'll probably know all the stories I'm going to talk about, at least some of them. And people have been able to make the most incredible use of all these websites. But one of the things, we should never substitute just knowledge for action, because one of the things we want to do, we want to have the information, we want to have the knowledge, and then we want to do some action. All right, Steve, thanks for joining me on the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. We're talking with the owner of the Cloudcliff Bakery, Willem Martin, and he will be right back with us because we want to talk to him about things that are being done here that are applicable all over the country, all over the world. Jillian Jordan is with me as well. We'll be right back.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm gonna get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Max, I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No, I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal.
Anaconda. Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. We have another little guest with us. Jalene Jordan is with me in Miami, Florida. We are live in Santa Fe. We're at the Cloud Cliff Bakery, and it's at 1805 2nd Street. And joining me is Willem Moulton. And Willem is a filmmaker. He was telling us about looking for weapons of mass destruction. All you got to do is go down the road to Los Alamos. We'll be talking with Greg Mello. He is an activist around those issues there tomorrow. But real quickly, because I think we got about 2 minutes, okay. This Northern New Mexico Organic Wheat Project. Willem, what's that all about?
Well, you know, many problems are global and many solutions are local, and they come down to a more equitable distribution of the wealth and resources of this country. And so we're doing our little part here in Northern New Mexico with the Northern New Mexico Organic Wheat Project. We have a series of family farmers in Northern New Mexico who grow wheat, organic wheat, and mill it themselves and bring it to us, and we make a product called Mativo, and it's a bread that is made with basically 100% local grains.
You make it here at the bakery.
Yeah, we make it here at the Cloud Cliff. And so so we have a direct contact with these families and the farmers, and it's basically one of the main sources of their income in Cuesta and Costilla.
Now, when with agribusiness just obliterating the family farm, they're going to be history pretty soon. I mean, is this a last gasp, or is it something that we could look for as a model for the future?
I think it's a model for the future, because what we have to do is value-added activities on the farm itself and get a much higher price for the goods. Like, for instance, right now, I don't know exactly, but the price for a bushel of wheat on the market, on the controlled by the corporations, is between $2.50 and $3 a bushel. We pay here for the same bushel, but processed into flour, we pay $15 a bag. So there you go.
What does that do for the price of your bread?
Well, no, the price of my bread is still reasonable. It's because the value-added activity, namely making the wheat into flour, happens on the farm itself, and that's you know, cutting out the middleman makes it possible for us to still be compatible and.
Well, that's great. Willem Martin, Moulton, sorry, I keep saying your name wrong. Willem Moulton, M-A-L-T-E-N, filmmaker. He's the owner of the establishment. We're broadcasting from Cloud Cliff Bakery in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Thank you so much. Thanks for being our host here.
Thank you, Peter.
And we've got another couple hours, so he's going to be around. If you want to come out, come on and do it. Jalene Jordan, stay with me. Lots more happening.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
The Peter Werby
Morning Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals do to you. Whale. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal Jack. Questions Zebra. From A to Z. Iguana. Sunday nights on IE America Minx. Radio Narwhal. Network.
Austria.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. Dozens of people are dead, including several Americans, after suicide bombers attacked housing compounds in the capital of Saudi Arabia. The blast came just hours before a visit by Secretary of State Colin Powell. Saudi Arabia's ambassador to Britain, Prince Turki Al Faisal, says his country is doing all it can to combat terrorist groups.
It only goes to confirm our continued efforts to eradicate terrorism and to continue the fight against terrorism, in which the kingdom has been in the forefront for many years.
Vice President Dick Cheney today said some 91 people were killed. The latest U.S.-led Middle East peace effort has hit a stumbling block. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon says he will not hold talks with Palestinian leaders on the dismantling of Jewish settlements in the foreseeable future. Steve Mort reports.
U.S. officials have played up Colin Powell's visit to the Middle East to promote the so-called roadmap peace plan for the region, hailing the decision by the Israeli Prime Minister to meet his newly appointed Palestinian counterpart, Mahmoud Abbas. But Ariel Sharon's latest remarks appear to have dampened hopes of a breakthrough in the near future. The roadmap envisages Israel curbing settlement expansion in the West Bank and Gaza, and Palestinians disarming militant groups to pave the way for statehood by 2005. But Mr. Sharon has told the Jerusalem Post newspaper that settlements are not an issue on the horizon. Steve Mort, Washington.
President Bush is in Indiana stumping for his big tax cut package.
We're growing. As a matter of fact, we're growing more than most other countries in the industrialized world, and that's positive news. What isn't positive is the fact that too many of our fellow citizens are looking for work. What's not positive is some of your fellow citizens are saying, what can I do to put food on the table for my family?
The president said additional tax cuts will stimulate the struggling economy and put people back to work. More in a moment.
Hey, Larry, baby, you want to go for a ride?
Why, Vince, I didn't know you cared.
I don't, but I'm looking for a baby.
Oh, but, Vince, we're crash dummies.
Well, your head's about the size of a baby.
What are you doing?
Taking it off! I'm using your head in a rear-facing infant seat.
Why?
To show how babies up front are in airbag danger.
You know I get sick when I ride backwards and without a body.
Up in front, kids won't know what hit them when the airbag blows.
Then why do people put their kids up front, Vince?
I don't know. Maybe it makes them feel better to see them sitting by their side. Although, if my baby looked like you, he'd ride in the truck.
And where are we going, Vince?
Yeah, you know that brick wall with the big bullseye?
I can see it vaguely in the back of my mind.
Well, in 2 seconds, that's exactly where it's going to be. Oh, Larry, you're embedded in the seat. I can't understand you. I'll go get a tire iron.
Thank you.
You could learn a lot from a dummy. Buckle your kids in the back seat. A message from the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
The World Health Organization says it isn't seeing any signs that the SARS epidemic is tapering off in China. A consultant with the group says that despite the drop in the number of cases in China, the virus is not on the decline.
It is clear that the SARS epidemic, even if it is tailing down, is not going to disappear quickly, and the future course is unpredictable.
SARS has now killed almost 580 people worldwide, and the total number of cases has increased to over 5,000. Greece is also now reporting its first suspected case of SARS. More after this.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door, it's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
The $20 bill is getting a makeover in an effort to combat counterfeiters. Federal Reserve Board Bureau of Engraving and Printing spokesperson Don Haley says the new bill is being rolled out today.
Well, the most notable difference in the new notes will be the subtle background colors. They're actually part of the production process, and you'll still be able to tell that these notes are genuine American currency because the back still will be greenback.
The new $20 bill will be introduced into circulation this fall. The $20 bill is the most common bill reproduced by counterfeiters. The $50 and $100 bills will also be remade in 2004 and 2005. Actor-comedian Tommy Chong has pleaded guilty in federal court in Pittsburgh to charges of selling drug paraphernalia over the Internet. Chong was half of the comedy duo Cheech and Chong, who parodied the drug culture in their recordings and movies. Chong was released on $20,000 bond with sentencing scheduled for September 11th. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Yesterday in Brakes 101, master cylinders, calipers, and pads were demystified. You learned they are a lot like hearts, muscles, and skin, all designed to stop cars and save lives. When I come back, it's Brakes 102.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
Welcome to Brakes 102 at Car Clinic College. Today's lesson, analog braking systems, or ABS. Ever press the brake and nothing? You just pumped and hoped for the best? Hope no more. The best is here. Computer-controlled ABS. This system monitors the speed of individual wheels and applies precise braking power to each. And if any brake starts to lock or slows at a different rate than the others, that specific brake is automatically pumped or pulsed to prevent lockup. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Well, thank you very much and welcome, everybody. We are broadcasting live at the Cloud Cliff Bakery in Santa Fe, New Mexico. If you're in the area, it's at 1805 2nd Street. It's east of Cerrillos. And Jalene Jordan's in Miami, Florida. Everyone is disappointed, Jalene, that you're not here.
They are no more disappointed than I. I love it there, yeah. And I love the people of Santa Fe.
Everyone's looking at me oddly. I don't know why. Can you folks hear it right now? Okay. All right. Nobody can hear it. That's why. That's why they're looking at oddly. They just see lips moving. We're setting up some the Bob and Dave show, which comes on right after mine. You remember them, the engineers?
Bob and Dave.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And we've had some people on. And by the way, if you're in the audience, of course they can't hear me now. I was going to say people can come up and talk. And we're going to have Bill Althaus.
Yes, I did.
And
the problem is here.
Hey,
Dave told me the wrong wiring.
Hey, Bob or Dave, you're talking. You're going out.
You're
over
part of the show.
You're part of the
we
show,
didn't
dude.
We mean really like during this time slot, Bob and Dave.
Right.
Hey, love I was, you.
You know, oh, I forgot to tell you. We were talking about George Bush. Actually, there was a George Bush figure here. I should
pardon
me? Not to. Well, he actually had a George Bush mask on, and
you're
he was putting he was putting masking tape on my mouth.
What?
A guy dressed in a suit had a George Bush mask on.
And he really did this to you? He came up and touched you?
Well, no, I mean, he was a listener. He was somebody, you know, he was a nice guy.
Oh, good.
It was okay.
You scared me.
No. So we have some photographs of him trying to put duct tape over my mouth.
Oh, that's funny.
There you go.
So you can say Bill Althaus.
Yeah. Oh, Bill Althaus, it does alternative energies technologies. And at first when I heard it, I thought, oh, well, huh. But this is exactly what we're talking about. If we're going to make changes, it's not all just about making fun of George W. Bush, although that's great fun, right?
Sure.
And it kind of reinforces our sense that we're being ruled by an illegitimate person. But ultimately, what we've got to talk about, we can't always be on the defensive. We can't always be ridiculing. We can't always be saying we're the anti-war movement or the anti-Bush movement. We've got to start making changes and preparations for changes and making changes in our own communities. And that's pretty hard. It'd work in Santa Fe. It'd work like in Detroit where there's a large group of, you know, similarly minded people. It works in California, places like that, Massachusetts. If you're an isolated listener and you're in some state that's all Republican, some town that's all Republican, you're probably thinking, gee, how the hell am I going to do that, right?
Yeah.
It just doesn't even seem probable. Sometimes you can't. It might not happen first in Clinton, Arkansas.
Yeah,
right?
That's
which
true.
Is a town. Or in, I don't know, can't think of lots of other little towns. But right now, we do have the internet, and I don't want the internet to substitute for real life, but it does allow us to communicate with one another, and that's its important capacity. That we can communicate with one another. It doesn't substitute for real life or for real change. I mean, that's what we have to realize. Which, I would like my headphones turned up a little. Thank you. This one. All right. Thank you very much. All right. We were talking earlier about the front page of the New York Times that said all the dots are connected there. Explosions rock Western enclaves in Saudi Arabia. The payback for the illegal and unnecessary invasion of Iraq is already beginning. You know, everybody was saying, oh, look, nothing's happened. All you leftists said that we were going to get hit by all these terrorist attacks. And one thing about terrorist attacks, about 10 things. First, that there was all this warning. There was all this warning about this. I don't know if it's on this front page or not. Oh, yeah. The attackers struck just days after the State Department issued an extraordinary specific warning on May 1st that terrorist attacks, quote, may be in the final phases of planning attacks on American targets in Saudi Arabia. So here they had very specific information that there was going to be attacks in Saudi Arabia. And what could they do to stop it? I mean, I'm not criticizing the people handling security or even the Bush administration, if you can imagine this. It's impossible to stop when people are committed to doing these kinds of acts and are even willing to take their own lives in the process. What are you going to do?
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, if you...
I mean, a change in foreign policy might help a little.
Well, that might help a little. Here's what Mr. Burgess says. Who the hell is Mr. Burgess in this article? This is when I don't have... I'm just reading out of the paper. John Burgess, counselor for the public affairs at the American Embassy in the capital, Riyadh. He said, we didn't have anything particular in mind, except there was clearly plans for something to happen or that something was that someone was planning to do something. He says, there was no specificity, I hate that word, in the warnings that the U.S. got about attacks in Saudi Arabia. Well, up here it said that the State Department issued an extraordinary specific warning on May 1st. Well, they just don't know where they're going to do it. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, Israel has found out about that, that if you want to have anything that approaches, hey, finally everybody hears it. All right. Welcome, Santa Fe.
You
know what's going on? We finally now have the audio fixed.
Good.
And they're peeling off a piece of duct tape for me. You guys are going to hate me, the engineers here that are so wonderful. I'm going to try my 50-50 thing again. Bob. Dave. I'm wrong every time. Dave, Bob. All right.
You'll have it down pat soon.
Bob is tall. That's Jillian?
Yes. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Never mind. Let's go back to the front page of the New York Times. Plan to loosen network rules goes to the Federal Communications Commission. I mentioned that. The government is proposing the most significant overhaul of its media ownership rules in a generation, including a change that would allow television networks to own enough local stations to reach 90% of the nation's viewers.
Now,
many of you people that are listening have been emailing me about this. And this is really a concern because if we think there's a lock on the information, the news that we get, the programming we get now, just wait till these new regulations come into play. Yeah. And, of course, who is the chair of the FCC? Michael K. Powell. Who is he related to? Colin Powell. What a strange set of circumstances.
Connection.
So
nice.
Yeah, and this is more evidence that what we're dealing with here is not a political system, not an economic system, not a communication system, but a racket, a 100% flat out racket. Now, we had actually somebody, and I welcome all of you, anybody that wants to come up and talk on the air in the manner that callers do, you can do that as well. We had someone who was here at the Cloud Cliff Bakery in Santa Fe that talked about I forgot what the hell I was going to say, Jillian. I never done this before.
Well,
there's too much going
Tara,
on.
And she was connecting the dots like that.
She was connecting the dots big time. Right. Here's what I was going to say about it, though. When you live in a totalitarian country and you want to know what's going on, you learn to read between the lines. And for one thing, if in a totalitarian country that's controlled by the political establishment, the media is, all you have to do is just assume the opposite.
Yeah,
so if they
true.
Say it's blue, you know it's green, right? Or black or white or what
right.
have you. Yeah, actually, I think we have a caller that has been patiently waiting. Jenny from Santa Fe, she's listening to KTRC. KTRC is sponsoring this broadcast out here. In fact, let's give a big hand to KTRC.
Yay.
And all the people that made this happen. They are wonderful. They are wonderful. Except she hung up.
No.
But we, yeah. But Jenny, call back. In the meantime, we have with us
Elaine Chimino.
Elaine is with us. She's from Santa Fe.
Yes, and I'm with a citizens grassroots group called Citizens for Environmental Safeguards.
Great.
And we've been working on issues here in Santa Fe for the past 5 years, and one of them is the we're in federal court right now against the United States Army and the New Mexico National Guard. We filed over a year ago. Under a Freedom of Information Act, the National Environmental Protection Act, the National Preservation, Historic Preservation Act, and civil rights complaints, pursuant to the sitting of 26 Black Hawk helicopters at the Santa Fe Airport. And we've been trying to stop the sitting and the expansion of this facility for a couple of years now. We've been through all of the local procedures that you go through with the city and the county, and now we're dealing with some of the issues under this jurisdiction.
Well, tell me, Elaine, very frequently, in fact, one of the stimuluses to many local economies is that federal spending. That's what happens. That's one of the many functions of the war machine, is to take our tax dollars collected by the federal government, transfer it then to private corporations.
Yeah, under economic development,
yeah.
You know. And
so this is like a permanent war economy. So a lot of communities would say, hey, you want to, you're saying sit, not cite? How are you saying that? Sitting them?
Yeah, it's the sitting or the... on the site.
Sitting on the site of the... So a lot of municipalities would say, wow, this is going to bring, who knows, usually it's millions of dollars into our community. Why would Santa Fe not want to have this helicopter facility at its airport?
Well, one of the things that they're doing is they're combining other facilities from around the country. So they were going to close down a facility in Nevada and bring that to those people here. They're not really taking people from this community and allowing them the jobs and the opportunities mm-hmm. here. That's one of the things. The other is that there are other federal facilities in New Mexico that have been scheduled for closure. And we don't need another helicopter facility or another military expansion here in Santa Fe. There's plenty of federal facilities around the state that they can go to. They also have expanded the training facility out in the Caja del Rio, and that has expanded also into part of the no-fly zone and for Los Alamos Labs.
So
we're saying that they basically said we're going to do this for MASH units, for medical mm-hmm. training. And while that may be so, the style of helicopter, the model of helicopter that they have is a military helicopter. It is not a triage helicopter that are out there.
So one of the things you're opposing is essentially the militarization of Santa Fe.
Yes.
Which is what's happening to the entire economy. This is going to be the one big item funded by the federal government, the military. And essentially, they'll attempt to tie everybody into it. But it's not going to work. That's what I don't understand about these fellows running the government in Washington. Eventually, expenditures on the military have crashed from every empire, from Britain to Spain to the Netherlands to Portugal, and it's a fool's bet. It's not gonna work.
We don't think it's going to work, and plus it impacts our community. We have environmental assessments and impact studies. They found a FONSI. They didn't allow us, under a Freedom of Information Act, they never gave us the information that we could publicly respond.
Well, listen, how can people, real quickly, you got to give me a number or a website real quickly.
A website, www.environmentalsafeguards.com, has all the information on the Black Hawk helicopters in Santa Fe.
Well, thank you, Elaine. Thanks for joining us here at the Cloud Cliff Bakery in Santa Fe. Hey, we're still taking national calls as well. 1-800-TALK-YES. We're broadcasting through KTRC's facilities in Santa Fe. I'm Peter Werby with Jolene Jordan.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
Philip.
Constance.
Oh, Philip, I can't take this anymore. I want to be free.
You mean you want to be free of me, the kids, and the dirty laundry?
No.
Oh.
I want to be free of overnight laxatives that give me cramps.
Darling, that means Freelax.
What's so different about Freelax?
It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
If I take Freelax tonight, I'll get relief before the kids start fighting over breakfast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives, laxative. Use only as directed.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Well, that's not for the kids in the audience, by the way. Always do what you are told if you're a child. Hey, Jillian Jordan, welcome back. Welcome to all of you here at the Cloud Cliff Bakery, and we're in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Thanks for joining us. And if any of you want to talk on the air in the same manner that we encourage phone calls at 1-800-TALK-YES, please do. Joining us right now is Kathleen from Santa Fe. She's here with us. Jillian, say hello to Kathleen.
Kathleen, hi.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Welcome. Thank you. My name is Kathleen Owigon, and I'm a mediator here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I'm here today on behalf of the New Mexico Department of Peace Initiative. And the New Mexico Department of Peace Initiative was the offspring of an idea that Dennis Kucinich, congressman from Ohio, had in July of 2001, where he proposed to Congress that we create a United States Department of Peace. Unfortunately, it was ill-timed.
Yes, ha, ha, ha.
Yes, it happened just before September 11th. Timing is everything. And so we in New Mexico were so inspired by this idea that we decided to create a Department of Peace here in New Mexico. We call it the Department of Peace Initiative because we have not yet gotten approval from Congress to exist as an entity. Mm-hmm. However, we did pass a memorial last session that acknowledged our existence and what we wish to do, and it was passed unanimously, well, virtually unanimously. And so the Department of Peace Initiative's missions are we are dedicated to the high benefits of peacemaking, to create a climate of respect, cooperation, and safety for our citizens, our children, and future generations. To inspire peace, hope, and compassion, to educate in the process, skills, and awareness of peaceful solutions. And the epitomal sentence in our brochure that strikes me so profoundly, we see no other possibility for sustained life on our planetary home without the healing force of peace. The New Mexico Department of Peace Initiative meets every Friday at 4:30 in Santa Fe at St. John's Methodist Church on the corner of Old Pecos Trail and Cordova. Our number is area code 505-992-3001. Our website, which is now under construction, is www.departmentofpeacenm.org. And we are looking for volunteers and people who are like-minded who would like to join with us in creating a United States Department of Peace state by state.
Now, Kathleen, this is exactly what I was talking about. Now, here's something very local to Santa Fe and New Mexico,
right.
Yet this is something that could be done by people all across the country.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And our organization is more than willing. In fact, we're eager to help people elsewhere in the country to create their own State Department of Peace until we can get it passed mm-hmm. as a United States organization.
Now, if you missed any of this, you can email me at calltalkyes@yahoo.com, and I will put them in touch with you. And let me see. I think we might have just a few seconds left. Maybe we can even hold you over, though.
Mm-hmm.
I know that G.W. Bush, the man posing as the President of the United States, just visited here last Friday,
and
there were demonstrations. And there was some misunderstanding about the statement of the police chief of Santa Fe. Remind me of her name.
Her name is Beverly Lennon, and she is an amazing woman.
Right. And she was actually on the Peter Werby Show because it made it sound like she was – I said, gee, she could get a job in Detroit or New York. It sounded like saying, yeah, come on out. We're going to bust you. You know, but that wasn't the case at all. And you, in with so many demonstrations, so many successful and large ones in Santa Fe and the surrounding areas over the run-up to this war against Iraq, you've done a lot of meetings with her, am I correct?
We have done a lot of meetings with her as an organization, and we were the ones that organized the facilitated dialogue between the police department, the schools, and the youth, the high school students, about how we can go about peacefully protesting without creating conflict with the police department. Mm-hmm. And the statement that Beverly had made in the newspaper that was misinterpreted is simply that she understands that that activists sometimes want to be arrested. It's part of how they make their statement. It's part sure. of what they do, and all she was saying is that we'll be happy to accommodate that for you, but let's not have conflict about it. If that's what you want, we can give that to you. We can do it in a peaceful way. We don't have to struggle. And she's a very wise woman and very much a supporter of peace, and we're a supporter of her.
Something just fell on my head. It wasn't
it
heavy, though.
No.
I think it was the KTRC banner. Uh-oh, Brian
oh, no.
looks embarrassed, too. Thank you, Kathleen. Thanks for joining us, and keep
Thank
up
you.
The wonderful work. It's
you.
Really exemplary. All right, Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan, we're live in Santa Fe at the Cloud Clinton Bakery. We'll be right back.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. 300 workers at a plastics factory in Omaha, Nebraska, got a visit from President Bush yesterday. The visit was part of the president's three-day trip around the country to stump for his half-trillion-dollar tax cut. But Bush's visit to Airlite Plastics ended up costing the workers. They've been told they won't be paid for the time spent listening to Bush's speech, as they weren't making plastic. Factory managers say the workers can either make up the lost wages by working on Saturday or forfeit the day's pay.
Corporations that commit crimes in California could soon face the same fate as criminals who are repeat offenders. A tough new bill authored by State Senator Gloria Romero of Los Angeles would extend the state's three strikes and you're out policy to corporations. The bill recently cleared committee and is expected to sail through the full Senate later this month.
France is at a standstill today as more than a million public sector workers strike to show their dismay with government pension reform plans. The country's airports and public transportation are all but shut down. Schools are closed. There is no mail delivery, and government offices are shuttered. The walkout is in protest of plans to raise the retirement age, which the government claims is necessary to offset a multi-billion-dollar shortfall in the national pension program.
Employees of the Stanley Works Corporation in New Britain, Connecticut, have downed tools to protest their company's latest contract offer. The toolmaker employs more workers as subcontractors than as regular employees, and they say they'll stay off the job until they win protection against outsourcing to overseas operations in Mexico, Thailand, and China. At its height, Stanley Works employed some 10,000 workers in New Britain. Now only hundreds remain. The company got in trouble last year after its board of directors tried to dodge federal taxes by reincorporating in Bermuda. A union campaign and congressional hearings into tax shelters reversed those plans.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network. Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Broadcasting live from the Cloud Cliff Bakery, and welcome to all you Santa Feans that have come here, because that's where this is, Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're broadcasting on KTRC, and we haven't taken many calls. We should do that. But, you know, I kept forgetting to tell you that Marilyn and I flew in. We flew from Detroit to Houston, and we look and we say, you're flying into the George Bush International Airport. And I thought, man, what was this, some kind of plot or something? And I couldn't tell. I thought it said George W. Bush, which would mean it was, you know, the ex-governor, current, I don't know, I can't bring myself to say it. But then there were statues of his father all over the airport. You ever been to that Houston airport? And what is this? Statues of live people that are still alive? I mean, that's kind of weird, isn't it? I don't know. We actually have a guest with us, but I think James from Santa Fe, who is cab driver number 12, is still waiting patiently. James, are you with us?
Yeah, how you doing there, Pete? Long-time listener, long-time caller. Dittos.
Hey, James, you were just here at the Cloud Cliff Bakery.
I know. I'm going to harass you endlessly until you leave.
Okay, go ahead.
I like every bit of it.
Go ahead. Yes, we love it.
Anyway, I hope you like my bumper stickers. I got a bunch more of them. They're all libertarian. And I don't have anything else to say.
You mean all those no war stickers you brought? No, that wasn't you.
I don't like guns. Don't own one.
Yeah, he's a, you know, that shows the diversity of Santa Fe, right? We have James.
Yeah,
all right.
It does.
You going to take me for a ride?
I sure am, and I got a call right now. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, goodbye. All right, joining me is Bill Althaus, and Bill has his own firm here in Santa Fe, and it's involved with alternative energy technologies. And on the face of it, I think I might even have said this earlier, on the face of it, it doesn't sound real sexy, you know, but what we're talking about and what this broadcast is about and what so many of you are about is how can we alter this world, alternative, right? And we can't do it simply by bashing George W. Bush, which is good to do because that reinforces our sense that we're being ruled illegitimately. But ultimately, we're going to have to create a new world. In fact, on my website at peterwerby.com, it says a new world is possible. And a new world is not going to be made on the internet. I mean, it could be facilitated. A new world is not going to be done by reading our alternative publications, which we should all support and subscribe to. Ultimately, it's going to be how we change our lives in our local communities, and that's what Bill Althaus is doing. Bill, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
Thanks, Peter.
All right, and tell people, probably a lot of the people here in Santa Fe may know the work that you're doing, but and as we talked earlier, knowing that there's a national audience, what you're doing, describe that to us, and what kind of application it would have to other people listening.
Well, I think it's real obvious what energy's done to our country and our need for it.
Sure.
But there's a real opportunity here, and no matter where you're at, you got to realize that energy efficiency alone is capable of delivering more energy to the American energy market than nuke, coal, oil, and gas combined.
Hmm.
We are so inefficient. When I'm talking to European counterparts, and I tell them what the BTU consumption per square foot for a building is, they're flabbergasted. They just don't understand how it's legal to build buildings that operate that poorly.
Yeah, this was going to say, because one of the things we have to do, and you're doing it well, is to explain to people what, you know, some of these things about BTUs. I mean, people go, what the hell is that? I mean, what does it take to cool or to heat an area, and how does that translate back into how it's generated, and how does that translate into, for instance, for a need for a war in Iraq? And that's what you were alluding to, right?
Well, we waste so much energy. To get as much as we need at that level of waste, we're required to go kill people and take their oil.
Mm-hmm.
If we were efficient, if we had just minor performance codes at the local level, our building performance would jump to the point where our energy loads would start to drop. It's the same thing in cars. We're allowed to build cars that get extremely poor mileage. If that were illegal, we would have no energy crisis.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that even maintaining a fossil fuel economy, if we just utilized conservation, how much farther ahead of the game. But there is certainly among a lot of us, but at the national level, in either party, there's not that political will, is there?
No, and the one thing that's really fascinating about the opportunity that inefficiency has created is the only defense against fascism is really a reduction in their cash flow. And we can see that the biggest source of cash flow to the people who have taken over our government and controlled our Iraq expedition and so on, they can be eliminated simply by stopping buying their product. Just say no to fossil fuel today, now. It's doable, and it's cheaper than the fossil fuel selection.
Now this gets into actually the work that your company does. It seems more plausible, and begin by telling us what you do, but then I was going to say it sounds more plausible for you to do here in Santa Fe than it does for me to do in my little suburban bungalow outside of Detroit, Michigan.
Well, it's applicable anywhere. The basin's essence of what we're doing is to reduce the load. We get the load out. It's a Zen approach to energy. It's not where the energy comes from, but focusing on what you need. And if what you need can be cut in half, that has a severe economic value that we can represent. A lot of times with a client, for marketing purposes, I go, here's a big bag of cash for you every year forever. Do you want it?
There you go.
And all we have to do is cut their load, and that's a one-time cost. The cheapest energy is the energy you don't have to buy.
All right. Make that a little specific, because I'm already, I mean, anybody is thinking, save money? Well, that's, all Americans for that.
We do performance contracting, and that is we go in and say, what is energy costing you? Take a hotel, a typical hotel in Santa Fe, you might be spending $500,000 a year on natural gas. Well, we can come in and say, well, okay, just give me $400,000. So I'm giving him $100,000 a year net profit for a 10-year contract, guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. And but you're talking about hooking up the hotel to some alternative source.
Absolutely, but the primary is cutting the load. Again, eliminating the need for energy.
So you need a lot less to supply.
Most buildings are poorly insulated. Most homes are not even insulatable. The house was framed in such a way that putting insulation in it will have no effect. You've got to understand that the house or the building's envelope is a system and all the parts interact, and you've got to make it effective. And if you do that, typically every day I cut the heating bills for life for buildings in half. Mm-hmm. 50% cuts all the time.
Now, but you have done this. This is not speculation.
No,
this is
hundreds
not...
and hundreds of houses.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Now, and well, let me pose this to you. And I was trying to think of the man's name. I just had him on the air. A book called The Party's Over. It's called War, Oil, and the Fate of Industrial Society. So I can remember perfectly the title. And he said, yes, that that dependence upon fossil fuels creates wars, poisonous to the planet, and we're going to run out. And that something has to be done immediately. But he doubts whether alternative fuels can actually supply us with the level of consumption that we currently have.
Well, there's a lot of bad information about alternatives. One of which they always say, well, it can't replace what we have. And that's true of any one source. But the future, and Europe is teaching us a lot about what the future can look like because they are implementing these strategies. It is a network of systems. It's not solar. It's not wind. It's not biomass. It's not efficiency. It's conservation. It's all of those things. And so when you put all of those things together in a comprehensive program, you can indeed eliminate fossil fuels. But there's a lot of red herrings. Like right now we're hearing Bush with his hydrogen program. Well, hydrogen is not energy. Hydrogen is an energy carrier, and you must have a source. And when you hear George Bush talking about hydrogen, he's talking about nuke and coal.
Right.
That's what he's talking about. It ain't about hydrogen. It's about nuke and coal, about bringing the same old bad guys in a new way to fool us all into thinking it's something good. There are some approaches to hydrogen that are fascinating. I track many all over the world, mimic a photosynthesis, mm-hmm. either by inorganic or organic approaches, using photons to crack water molecules to get your hydrogen. That's a fascinating approach. It's not going to be photovoltaic and electrolyzers like a lot of people think. That's an inefficient process. But a direct photochemical reaction may be it. The Israelis are working on it. The Swiss are. There's a lot of projects around the world that show great promise.
Well, when you look at the poisonous nature of the petrochemical industrial system that fuels our standard of living, and right now is in the process of being expanded into major areas like China and other parts of the world, when I was saying earlier that the political will isn't there, it's also the economics of it. I mean, the fact, the way that that all systems are so conservative, that, you know, I always think, geez, Bill Althaus makes plenty sense. How come there's just not a, you know, like everything? Well, that's a good idea. Let's go with it. I mean, there is this intractable, you know, miring in what we have now to the point where we're willing to kill thousands of people, continue to pollute the planet, rather than, for instance, declaring a Manhattan-type project to say, we're in an energy crisis, we're in an environmental crisis, we've got to get out of this in 5 years. So where does your hope lie in this?
Well, you mentioned policy issues, and that's the real problem. If you go to our state legislature or you go to the Public Regulation Commission, you're going to find our local utility company over there with 100 attorneys on staff buying everybody in sight.
Sure.
And that's the reason we have a system like we have. Now, the thing about we're going to run out of oil, that's no longer applicable. We are out. Production is falling. Demand is increasing. Those lines have crossed. It's over. Wells are rapidly running dry all across the United States. There's a thing called first-year depletion rate, which is the field data indicator that it's over for fossil fuels. So we've got to look at alternatives, and we can take a look at what's going on in Europe, and we see that it's a market-driven approach. It's when you go to the consumer and say, look, it's cheaper to do it this way. When you can harness greed to the solution, we have a chance. Not only, and that's the only way we're going to have a chance, because it's not the choir who's going to save us. You know, for every guy who switches to an alternative fueled vehicle, or every guy who builds a house that doesn't use a lot of energy, there's an industrial or a corporate user out there that is just, destroying the planet. And we must change them. And the only way to change them is the approach where you walk through the front door and you go, here's $500,000 a year in net profit for you. Let me give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can explain it that way, we have a chance.
Well, you know, this, I sometimes even hesitate to mention his name, but he is a public figure of great renown, Rush Limbaugh, where he usually will say, you liberals are trying to take away, or he warns his audience, that those liberals are trying to take away your SUV. And, I guess what we're interested in is living on a livable, sustainable planet. And a world that, as it is now, is neither. And we've crossed some thresholds. You're absolutely right. But I think what's difficult for people that are advocating alternatives is to say, yeah, maybe we're not going to be able to have huge cars that get 9 miles a gallon anymore. And they go, well, there it goes. They're going to take away my SUV. But I guess I always pose it to them, well, there's some choices you can make. Either you can have this profligate use of energy, which necessitates wars, the continuing poisoning of the planet, or you can start thinking creatively how we can live in a manner that will survive as a species.
Well, the alternatives are so much cheaper. The SUV example is kind of a tough one. It's been over-marketed, over-hyped, and a lot of people bought into it. But in general, for big energy users, and if we're going to talk something about a problem as big as global warming, our solutions have to be bold, extreme, huge. The scale required is really hard for most people to comprehend. The scale that we need to achieve to replace fossil fuels is really extensive. And the only way we can do that is get the very biggest of users of energy excited about the alternative now. And the only way to do that is to give them the big bags of cash. That gets their attention and nothing else does.
Is it getting big players? That, because I know my dad was involved in energy auditing, same kind of thing. They would go through like a General Motors plant in the East and see, you know, how much is this using? And then he'd say, you're using a lot. And if you institute, you know, soft fluorescence and stuff like that, wasn't, you know, big savings. But and from what I know about you, Bill Althaus, is that your business is doing real well. You are, you know, you're doing hundreds of homes and all that, but is it getting to the people that are really going to be make fundamental changes? I mean, and that's not your obligation. I mean, it's, I know you're out there doing it. I mean, I'm still, you know, worried about these guys that control everything.
Well, most of what we've done up to now where we've been very successful is all the demand side. We've eliminated the need for energy, but my company is now getting ready to start delivering new forms of energy and combining that with a synergistic package mm-hmm. that cuts load and brings the new source. In New Mexico, we have a number of factors and problems, serious problems, that come together on the same issue. Our forests are going to burn. They were clear cut. They grew back. They're choked. They're a hazard. When it burns so hot, not even a fungus lives. Total destruction. Thousands of houses will be destroyed, and it's inevitable. There's conventional wisdom says there's nothing we can do about that. The forest will destroy itself. Well, and then we have natural gas. It just went up 800%.
Yikes. I wonder if it builds up so much.
In all the areas that need to be thinned, unemployment's over 50%.
Yeah.
And so you look at all these problems, and I am shocked that our government in the past hasn't looked at, we've got to thin or we're going to burn down. We've got no jobs where the thinning needs to be done, and we can no longer afford to buy natural gas at market prices. Well, that's a solution altogether. You can buy Norteño is our slogan for biomass implementation. You can buy Norteño. Go out and hire these guys with no jobs to make their forests safe and use that material to replace natural gas at a fraction of the cost of the fossil fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way to create synergy between all the local economies. And in every instance, the best choice is always the local economic approach. Where does the money end up? If you got an SUV, every time you buy gas, that money went to Wall Street, went to support fascism, went to kill Iraqis. If you buy biomass, that money went to some poor family in Mora, Truchas, Peñasco, who doesn't have a job.
Well, the vision is here, and what we're faced with, let me see, I think we are almost out of time. We'll hear some music come up. But this is so exciting to me, because what we're usually told is that these men in suits that we see on television, they have everything under control. They have nothing under control. They stumble from crisis to crisis, and the crises get larger, and they are so rooted, because that's where their, you know, the power of their racket is centered, is in the kind of the institutions they currently control. And I think that's why, for instance, they not just say, wow, what a great idea, let's switch tomorrow.
Well, to your national audience, I'd just like to say that in any community in America, in 10 minutes in the Yellow Pages, you can find $1 million a month of direct replacement for natural gas that's marketable. Stand at the landfill, the tree trimming guys, the waste streams. All that stuff is burnable with new technology, with no emissions, and can directly replace natural gas.
Absolutely amazing. Bill Althaus, thanks for joining. I want to give Bill a hand. This is absolutely great. All right, Peter Werby Show, live from Santa Fe. We'll be right back with Jolene Jordan.
I can't go on anymore. I want to be free.
You want to be free of Hollywood, the glamour, the fame?
No. I want to be free of overnight liquid laxatives that taste like I'm drinking chalk.
Well, that's easy, baby. Take Freelax. It's the only overnight laxative that gives you stimulant-free, cramp-free relief in just 2 caplets.
Ooh, are you sure I'll be free of constipation before my early morning flight to the coast?
Depend on it. Freelax is the free of everything you hate about laxatives. Laxative.
Oh, Max.
Use only as directed.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what what's in the mainstream media is important to you in these times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hey, Chuck, welcome to Nebraska. How you doing, buddy?
Welcome to Nebraska.
How you doing? We're lost in sauce, buddy.
You guys have way too much fun, you know that.
Isn't that the truth? What can we do for you, Chuck?
Hey, I tell you what. I got a border collie, and I called you guys up about 9-10 months ago, and you gave me some advice. This dog was a one-person dog, and that was my wife. Mm. And you gave me some advice that said that
you
give him some time and work with him, and I did. And I just want to thank you guys for what you said to me, because I really worked with his dog, and now he's kind of on my side.
And that doesn't bother you so much, does it?
No, not really. No.
Excellent.
No, I actually, this phone call is just to thank you for your advice. I sure appreciate that, because it sure worked out good. It worked out great.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Jalene Jordan is with me from Florida. Hi, Jalene.
Hi, Peter.
And I am sitting in the Cloud Cliff Bakery in Santa Fe, New Mexico, being attended
by... And I'm sure the bread is amazing there. Did you have some treats?
I never got a piece of it. No one ever offered. No, they did.
You.
They did. I want to get this, the proprietor. It was talking about how they get this organic wheat from these small family farmers around here and then make
wonderful.
It into this wonderful bread. So I'm certainly going to do that as well. All right. Well, you know, we've been inviting people. If anyone up out in the audience wants to come up and say, hey, you can just come up and speak your piece, just like if you were calling into 1-800-TALK-YES. Have we had any phone calls today where people are just kind of...
I think they're sitting back and listening. We've had a couple, yeah.
Yeah. You sound pretty hollow.
Well, so do you.
Well, so do you. Next hour we're going to have, is it Buddy is going to be with us and sing a song? Is
yes.
That what we're going to get? Okay.
Buddy, our guest, special guest artist.
And it's going to be a, I think, a world premiere. exclusively here on the Peter Werby Show. And then we're also going to have, and I do not have this in front of me,
we're going to have Carol Oppenheimer on the air. She's a lawyer and labor activist, and she was she spearheaded the Living Wage Ordinance, which was one of the first in the U.S., if not the first.
Yeah. You know what's so interesting? The fact that there'd have to be something called a living wage, you know?
I know.
I mean, what's the minimum wage then? What the hell do you do on that, right?
Exactly. Yeah, struggle.
I think you barely exist. Did you hear me say, and was it named that when we came here last year, that the airport that we flew into in Houston was George Bush International Airport?
I don't know. God,
I saw these statues of George Bush Sr. Do you folks know, is it named after the kid or the father? Senior. I don't know. I don't feel much better about that.
Okay.
But they got statues of them.
Well, we call Reagan National Airport. We just call it National in D.C., right?
Well, yeah, like Reagan National Airport. Nobody calls it Reagan National Airport unless you're a Republican. They all call it National Airport.
Right.
All right, this hour is at an end. I want to thank all of you that are here at the Cloud Cliff Bakery. Thanks for joining me on the Peter Werby Show live. And, hey, lots of time. We've got another hour, so come on by to 1805 2nd Street. It's just east of Cerrillos here in Santa Fe. And to everybody that's making this, this is one of these things you're probably supposed to list off everybody that made this happen, right? I'm terrible
The Bob and Dave Show.
The Bob and Dave Show, our engineers.
KTRC.
Yeah, KTRC, yeah, they're the folks that are making this all happen. And wonderfully broadcast this show. All right, we'll be right back.
On the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Tom Roberts. American terrorism experts, including FBI agents, are heading to the capital of Saudi Arabia, Riyadh, to help in the probe of the overnight suicide bombings that killed several Americans and scores of others. State Department spokesman Phil Rieker calls this a time of sorrow and grief.
This was clearly a well-planned terrorist attack. It had all the fingerprints, earmarks of Al-Qaeda, but of course a final determination in this attack of who is responsible will depend upon the results of the ongoing investigation.
14 Cuban diplomats based at the UN have been expelled from the United States. They're accused of spying, Nathan King reports.
These latest expulsions are a sign of a toughening of Washington's attitude against Cuba. The island nation's president, Fidel Castro, recently jailed over 75 dissidents. He says he fears the United States could attack at any time. He's also restricted the movement of American diplomats in Cuba. The U.S. has condemned Fidel Castro's actions, along with Cuba's re-election to the United Nations Human Rights Commission last month. And the White House may announce a new get-tough policy against Cuba in the next few days. Tensions between the two countries haven't been so strained since the Elian Gonzalez affair. Nathan King at the United Nations, New York.
President Bush is in the Hoosier State promoting his large tax cut package. Jerry Snook is there with him in Indianapolis.
President Bush told the crowd that economic security is a challenge that the U.S. will have to face. Bush says the key point is job growth. But the way to do that is to increase demand for goods and services. He also says his plan to eliminate dividend taxes would encourage small business growth and encourage corporate reform. Talking about Monday's death in Saudi Arabia, Bush pledged to, quote, find the killers and show them the meaning of American justice. Bush expressed confidence in the economy and the war and asserted his belief his economic and job growth plan would lead to jobs for the unemployed and good times for America's businesses. I'm Jerry Snow.
On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow is down 58 points. More in a moment.
You mean I could have diabetes and not even know it?
Then why would I want to know?
Heart disease, amputations, stroke, blindness, kidney disease. They all can be caused by diabetes. So it's critical that you know if you have it. But what makes diabetes so scary? Many people don't know when they have it, because there are often no symptoms. Meanwhile, diabetes can be causing damage that will lead to serious problems later on. If you're over 45, you don't exercise, and you're overweight, you're at risk for diabetes. What should you do? See your doctor, because a simple blood test can detect the problem. And with early treatment, you can prevent the devastating effects of diabetes. For more information, call the American Diabetes Association at 1-800-DIABETES. That's 1-800-DIABETES. Don't be blind to diabetes.
The national terror drill continues today in Chicago with a mock biological weapons attack. On Thursday, a mock plane crash will be staged near the city's Midway Airport. Cortez Trotter of Chicago's Office of Emergency Management says that in addition to the scheduled disaster, some curveballs are being thrown to test first responders. The court-appointed defense attorney for a Texas mother charged with beating two of her sons to death is suggesting the woman is not sane. According to the Dallas Morning News, Deanna Laney claimed God ordered her to kill her children. A third child, a 14-month-old, survived and is in critical condition. More after this.
How is the GM 24-hour test drive different from the average test drive? It's about, 23 hours and 45 minutes longer. Long enough to take a GM car or truck to work, to keep it overnight. See how it fits in your garage. See how it fits in your life. For more information and to locate a participating dealer, click to gm.com/24-hour. You must be 21 and be an insured licensed driver with approved credit.
I'm asleep on it. I'll give you an answer in the morning.
Martha Stewart could be close to reaching a settlement with the government over allegations of insider trading. Stewart has denied any wrongdoing after being suspected of selling $225,000 worth of shares in ImClone one day before the FDA rejected the firm's cancer drug. The recent FDA approval of the drug Iressa as treatment for advanced lung cancer has sparked a newfound hope among those suffering from the disease. Iressa is the first in a new class of cancer treatments that attacks cancer cells and receptors.
Iressa is a pill that patients take at home on a daily basis for the patients who had already received all of the standard forms of chemotherapy and who no longer had any reasonable treatment options.
That's the medical director at Cedars-Sinai Comprehensive Cancer Center in Los Angeles, Dr. Ronald Natal. The average cost of driving a car this year will be 51.7 cents a mile. That's according to a new study by AAA. Figure is up about 3% from 2002. Figures are higher for SUV drivers. I'm Tom Roberts, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Lyka with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Lycus. Lycus, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to many of you, and welcome to all of you here in Santa Fe at the Cloud Cliff Bakery. It's at 1805 2nd Street, just east of Cerrillo. Can't even say it.
Cerrillo.
Cerrillo. Thank you. And Jolene Jordan, thank you for being here. What would I do if I was by myself? I might have gone into a permanent state of not being able to pronounce Cerrillos. Fortunately not. Hey, you know, I was telling you that I had to fly into the George Bush International Airport in Houston to get here from Detroit in Santa Fe. And then I saw a number of Chinese people wearing masks, you know, those gauze masks.
Right.
And I said to Marilyn, and I said, should that make us feel better or worse?
And what did she say?
I don't know. She said what everybody here said. I don't know. If they have it, you want them to have it, have those masks. But if they have it, you don't want them to be there. Hey, there was a number of people been coming by. Well, you should see the stuff that we have here. Everything from cartoons and people's projects here in Santa Fe. It's an absolutely incredible town. And as we've been saying, this is not a local show. We're here at one of our fine radio affiliates, broadcasting through KTRC. But everything you hear on this program is something that we could do back in Detroit, that, Jolene, you could do in Miami, that people listening anywhere in the country or in the world could do as well. Now, some of this, you know, people are saying, I'm the only person in this damn Republican town I live in. How can I do anything? Well, maybe you can't right now, but the idea is out there. And I want to just stress one time again is that we can't succeed by just being negative. We can't be the people that say no to George W. Bush. We have to say no to his war. We have to say no to his tax giveaway to the wealthy. We have to say no to his attacks on the environment, on women's rights, on workers' rights, all of that, of course. But at some point, the defensive, and I'm not even saying we should go on the offensive. What we have to do is start reinventing life, reconstructing life. And when you hear the ideas that have come out of people here that listen to KTRC and the Peter Werby Show, that even before they even heard of the show were involved in all sorts of alternative projects from the environment to culture. And in fact, actually, that reminds me of a couple things. We have anti-culture as well. I'll tell you about that in a second. You know what I'm talking about, Julie?
God, I'm not sure.
No. One of the things that folks here have done, they put together a peace show. And this is this exhibition that is taking place in the, remind me here where this is here, so I'll know where this is, the Artist Resistance Movement at the CCA Warehouse Installation Space. It's at 1050 Old Pecos Trail in Santa Fe. And again, this may be, you know, you might be thousands of miles away from Santa Fe, but you know any artists? Well, no, okay. Well, then you might just have to go online. But in fact, we have Artists Against the War on the Peter Werby website, and you can hook up with those people. But this is something that you could do at a local coffee house. If there's tons of artists, and like there is here in Santa Fe, well, then that makes it a lot easier. But they already had on last Saturday their opening event. And there's going to be an opening, an open Poetry for Peace event that's going to be Sunday, May 18th at 7 p.m. And that's at the CCA Performance Space out on Old Pecos Road, Pecos Trail. Yeah. And someone whose name, I'm sorry to say, escaped me, told me about this book. We've talked so much about the racket. It used to be called an economic system. It used to be called the political system. Now here we simply call it the racket. Mm-hmm. And again, I don't want to say that things changed. They did, but they didn't change completely dramatically on January 21st, 2001, a day that will live in infamy. The seeds of this had been long aborning. And but now I think what George W. Bush has presided over is the complete racketization of this society. So it is nothing but a racket. And all the rest we see, like on the front page of the New York Times, where now they're going to loosen the network rules, that you have this nepotism where you have the son of one of the powerful players in the racket, Colin Powell, going to say, big companies, you can control everything. And it means, though, that we are heading towards Pravda, the single voice of power. And I said at last hour, at least we'll know whenever they say yes, we'll know it's no. Whenever they say black, we'll know it's white.
Right. Well, but someone dropped off. Thank God for the internet, you know?
Did you say, you said thank Gaia, right?
Thank Gaia, I mean.
Yeah, thank Gaia for the internet. That's right. That's, how do you spell that? G-A-I-A, right?
Right.
Yeah. That's the goddess of nature. Anyways, remember, you may, am I remembering right, we had Dan Briody on, B-R-I-O-D-Y? We did. And I can't remember what he was talking about, but he has written a new book for Wiley Publications called The Iron Triangle, Inside the Secret World of the Carlyle Group.
Oh.
And if you have any doubts as to when it's whether it's a racket or not, and if you want to just leave behind conservative and liberal values, if you want to leave behind Democratic and Republican stuff, and realize that it's not what it's all about. It's not about politics scurrying around at the bottom level. It's about these men with extraordinary wealth whose interests transcend national borders that have worked out this international racket.
Yeah,
all right, joining
yeah.
us, and I was saying we have the anti-cultural event right now, we have Buddy with us.
Oh.
And Buddy is a longtime Santa Fe resident. Buddy, welcome to the Peter Werby Show.
Well, thank you, Peter. It's nice to be here.
And you don't have any objection to me saying that you're the anti-cultural segment.
Well, I'd call it low culture, not anti-culture.
Okay, well, low culture. There's high culture, there's medium culture, that's us, I guess, and then there's low culture. And you have a guitar in your hands, I notice.
Yes, I do.
Strum is
one. I'm trying to learn to play.
Well, let's see.
You won't be able to hear it, fortunately, through this microphone. You're
so
lucky.
I wonder
you don't
what
know
we
how
can
lucky
do.
You are.
Is there an engineer in the house?
No, it's better this way, Peter.
It's better this way. Can I put? I know what I can do. I can put my microphone near it. So you want to sing us a song? And this is you guys have set this up. I don't even know what's going on. All right, okay, Buddy, we're going to mic you though. Here, all right. Tell us a little about the song.
Well, it's a response to one of the many. Ignoble events that's going on these days. I don't need to tell you there's about 5 million to choose from. Peter, may I first say that we're glad to have you here in Santa Fe. We had the forces of darkness this weekend, and now we got you to balance it all out.
Peter says thank you.
All right. Well, let's play it.
All right. This little song we got about the Dixie Chicks event, Dixie Chicks Imbroglio. And we hope to get this one on the web, get it recorded, get it on the internet web. Okay, here we go. Three chicks came from Texas with a banjo and guitar and a fiddle that could make you cry or set your soul on fire. Their mamas taught them to speak up about what they thought was true, and they thought their country gave that right to them and me and you. Now one night back in England, one of these babes brought up a beef about how she wasn't too impressed with her commander-in-chief. The folks did not appreciate how she denounced her man, their man. These patriots rolled up their sleeves and took matters in hand. Let's beat on the Dixie Chicks, but we're too nice to use rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their CDs with a bulldozer or whatever you please. If this reminds you a little bit of bonfires in Berlin, well, cowboy, that just goes to prove you can always have it can always happen again. Oh, buddy, messed up the guitar. I told you you shouldn't have mic'd that guitar, Peter. But that's part of my charm. So if you ever get a notion to state what's on your mind, make sure it's something flattering or at least extremely kind, or you find your controversy quotient's completely out of hand, though you might improve your record sales and the quality of your fans. Let's beat on the Dixie Chicks, but we're too nice to use rocks and sticks. So let's demolish their CDs with a bulldozer or what you please. If this reminds you a little bit of bonfires in Berlin, well, cowboy, that just goes to prove you can always happen again. Thank you very much, America.
Buddy. Yeah, let's hear it for
Woo-hoo!
Buddy. Well, thank you so much for coming by, Buddy.
Well, thanks, Peter. That was frightening, wasn't it?
It was what?
It was frightening.
Frightening,
wasn't it?
Okay, yeah. And I mean, I'm glad to let you up here to practice.
Hi, Jolene. I'm sorry you ain't here. I was looking forward to seeing you.
Buddy, I miss you. That sounded great.
Thank you, darling.
Jolene?
Yeah.
Could you say Buddy one more time?
Buddy?
All right. She's got the feeling.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, Peter.
If anybody else in the audience wants to come up and chat, just like in the manner that we welcome phone calls at 1-800-TALK-YES, please feel free to do so. Come on up. Let me see. Do we have time in this segment? We can hold you up. I see somebody coming here. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be Buddy. You're going to have to do some sit-ups here, Buddy, or something like that. I'm just, yeah. One of the things that's going to happen tonight at 6 p.m., there is going to be a reception for me, of all things, by the New Mexico NAACP. That's going to be 6 o'clock at the First Christian Church on, I can't remember what street. If anybody in the area is interested in what?
Weber.
Oh, on Weber.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And so we have somebody telling us. And you're who, please?
Agnes Moses.
Well, oh, Agnes, hi.
Hi, how are you, Peter?
Agnes is going to be one of my hosts tonight.
Yes.
And I just brought that up just coincidentally.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you saw me coming.
I did, but I saw you coming, but I had no idea that's what we're going to talk about. And I want to tell you how honored I am.
Very good. We're honored to have you.
Yeah.
It's at 645 Weber, First Christian Church, and we're going to have a reception for you at 6 o'clock. From 6 to 7, and then we will hear from you.
Oh, boy.
And then we'll have questions and answers of you.
I always get embarrassed speaking. I do. This is still on the radio. No, I do. I get embarrassed speaking in front of a live crowd. But I won't show it, I promise.
I heard you say that on the radio. That's why I called you Sunday to tell you don't worry.
Well, you did. It was very nice. And your husband, Bob Moses, who interestingly has a famous name. And I thought, boy, is this the Bob Moses from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating
right.
Committee? But it turned out not to be.
Well, he's gotten invitations to do things in the past, they thinking it was him. And then when they saw his face, they realized they had made a big mistake.
You mean he went?
Yes, he rose to the occasion.
So they thought they were getting Bob Moses from the famous student integration groups.
Right.
Nick, and Bob, just you took the ticket, huh? You're a man after my own heart. Well, yeah, it'd be great to have some people over there. And I think we're probably almost at the end of this segment. So we'll talk more. And if people haven't heard enough of me, sometimes I've heard enough of myself.
No, we're waiting to hear from you
well,
this evening. Well,
yeah, actually, I've back in the day, I was very active in the 1960s. And I was thinking.
I see. Yeah, SCS.
I would actually. Did I tell you that?
I read it on your resume.
That's in my resume?
Yes.
Wow. That was this was a group during the 60s called
Student Nonviolent.
No, the Students for Democratic Society.
Society. Yeah.
SDS. What a concept, too. Democratic Society.
Uh-huh.
I guess we could still use a group like that these days.
That's right.
Yeah. So that it's good to know that there's a New Mexico NAACP. Where I come from in Detroit,
right.
It has the largest NAACP in the country.
That's right. I heard, 45?
1,000, I think so.
Yeah.
It's a tremendous a number of people.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm kind of giving away a little of my talk, but I was arrested in an NAACP sit-in years and years ago. I'll tell you about that tonight.
Okay, looking forward to it.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
And thank you for the invitation tonight. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Please join us when we return. Jalene Jordan. Jalene, we're hardly giving you a chance to say anything.
You're busy, Peter. It's all right.
We're busy, but it's always great to have you here. And you're going to be on the air for me Thursday and Friday.
I am.
Hey, I'll tell you about the full moon when we come back. I'm Peter Werby.
Right now would be a good time to come into Napa Auto Parts because you can get 2 cans of Pennzoil Fix-A-Flat for just $5. This is good stuff. It's a really quick, safe way to get a flat tire reinflated, sealed, and ready to roll. Hey, a lot of us will be traveling this summer. Let's do it safely. Before you hit the road, be sure to check your tire pressure and don't forget to stock up on Fix-A-Flat. At 2 for $5, it's easy to have a little peace of mind along for the ride. Get the good stuff. Napa. Get the good stuff.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halfsies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about sumsies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven
to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Emerson once said of a visitor to his home, "The louder he talked of his honor, the faster we counted our spoons." I've always felt that way when hearing blathering Bill Bennett talk. He's the right-wing Republican who's made a fortune by positioning himself as a national scold. A former education official and drug czar under Reagan and Bush the Elder, Bennett writes books, gets paid absurd sums of money to make speeches, and is a regular on the television yak show circuit. He uses all of these forums to chide us lesser mortals for having weak morals, especially if you're a Democrat or harbor any liberal thoughts. He immodestly titled one of his tomes, The Book of Virtues, and he even did a version for children. But Bill is now learning that putting yourself on top of Morality Mountain can be a very slippery slope. As widely reported, it turns out that our moralizer-in-chief has a midnight gambling fetish and has squandered some $8 million at various casinos, losing up to $500,000 at a single sitting. The amazing thing, however, is not that another puffy-faced humbug has been exposed, but that Bennett and so many of his establishment cohorts are resorting to Clinton-esque moral relativism in a desperate effort to salvage his tarnished halo. These are the same politicos who savaged Bill Clinton for his twisted explanations of moral failures, but now they're the ones doing the Clinton twist. Bennett himself, for example, repeatedly declares that, quote, "I adhere to the law when I gamble." That's a pretty slim ethical read for a guy who preaches moral absolutism. But, his allies whine, Bill has never included gambling in his list of evils, so technically, he's not being hypocritical. Yeah, sure, and Clinton technically never had sex with that woman. This is Jim Hightower saying, maybe Bennett will now get off his high horse and be a tad less pious about other people's moral lapses. But I wouldn't bet on it.
It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much. Welcome, everybody. We are broadcasting live from the Cloud Cliff Bakery in Santa Fe, New Mexico. We're broadcasting on KTRC locally. They're our fine affiliate here in this northern New Mexico town. What a wonderful place it is. And I was saying, geez, I forgot who it was. Well, yeah, the head of Peace Action New Mexico. And excuse me if you're still here and I forgot your name already.
Hello.
I said to her, hi, Jalene. Yeah,
sorry. Hi.
And I said, this must be a perfect town. And I thought for sure that she would say, well, it's not exactly perfect. And she said it's perfect. How many people here think it's perfect? How many people still think it needs work? All right. How many people think it's a lot better than a lot of other places? Everybody's got their hand up. All right, Santa Fe. Joining me right now is Bob Moses, not the famous Bob Moses from the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, but the president of the NAACP New Mexico chapter. Bob Moses, thanks for joining me.
Good to be here, Peter. I will make a correction. Agnes Moses, my wife, with whom you talked just minutes ago, she is the president.
Oh, she's the president
of the NAACP, and I'm the chair of the Political Action Committee.
Okay.
We team up and do a lot of things, including with Peggy Prince. We 2.5 years ago, with the Peace Action New Mexico, NAACP, and other groups, had one of the largest January 20th anti-inaugural parties in the United States.
Well, that's good.
It was about a 10-degree above zero day, but there were a lot of loyal troops out there, and we try to keep together and look ahead now to November of 2004.
Yeah, I was in Washington, D.C. for the counter-inaugural. It was miserable there, too. It was like 34 and raining. Now, tell us just a little about New Mexico NAACP. Your wife is African-American, but are there many? I mean, you wouldn't think that New Mexico would have an NAACP.
New Mexico has only about a 2% African-American population. But because the African Americans have been in this seat when it was territorial days, even before going back to the Coronado period in the 1500s, there has been an African American presence in New Mexico. With only 2% of the population, the NAACP is an extremely active group statewide. It has 11 branches all the way from the northwest Farmington down to the southern tip around Carlsbad. Very active. And the other cities outside of Santa Fe, there is undoubtedly a stronger element of African American membership. Santa Fe is a unique town. We call ourselves a city different. And there are a lot of non-African Americans like myself who have been gravitated towards the civil rights, social justice, peace policies of the NAACP over the years. I'm here, I guess, not only because my wife is a member and is the president, but because I believe in the organization, and we'd certainly like to see the ranks swell. We're honoring you because you've been calling for a campaign for peace and social justice, and I think that's what the NAACP is all about.
I do too, and ultimately, whether you're listening to the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or even the contemporary leaders in the African American community, you know that there's no distinction between these issues, that the problem stems, is created by the same people, no matter what your issue you run in. You can have a group for peace and a group for environmental sanity. You can have any number of the groups that we choose to involve ourselves in. And lo and behold, we always find the same, what we call the worms, the white old rich men up there at the top and their compliant representatives. So, this is not a separate, I mean, we may function separately within different organizations, but just as you said that you teamed up with Peace Action New Mexico, that's just, I think, illustrative of, how we have to address the problems.
Well, there's got to be an awful lot of coalition, networking, organizations that work together in action as opposed to theories and nice things. I think we've got to be very action-oriented, particularly in the coming year and a half, to avert what could be a long stay in political control by an element that only represents a handful of the American people.
You are right. 90%. Bob Moses, thank you so much for joining me. I will see you tonight, of course, at, 6 p.m.?
6 p.m.
6 p.m.
7 p.m. We'll put you on the program.
First Christian Church over on Weber Street.
That's right.
Peter Werby saying, hang on, we'll be right back with Carol Oppenheimer.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
Consumers have the final word on food that's good for the environment. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. You've probably heard of organic food, but there are several other terms you should know, including protected harvest and shade grown. Cynthia Barstow calls them ecofoods. She's the author of the Ecofoods Guide. Barstow says most people know that organic food has been grown without chemical pesticides and fertilizers. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently passed national standards to determine what foods can carry the organic label. But Barstow says other terms can also guide your decisions.
The reason that I use the term ecofoods is that there are more production methods that I think we need to think about than just organic. I'm a big advocate of organic agriculture, and I feel very excited that we now have standards which tell consumers what it means. But I also think there are other things out there like integrated pest management.
Integrated pest management means that growers use smaller amounts of pesticides with greater precision. Growers call this a protected harvest. Barstow says consumers can find eco-food alternatives for most products. For example, coffee drinkers can look for shade-grown coffee. It's grown within a tropical forest, leaving habitat for migratory birds. Barstow says buying eco-foods builds a market for these environmentally sound practices.
We send signals every time we buy something, because that's how market researchers examine the food system. They will watch our buying habits, and then products will continue to come in based on what we're interested in.
Barstow says she's not a perfect eco-shopper, but she tries to stay on good terms with the environment. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Bantila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Bantila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Talk Yes. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Hey, we're here.
I can hear.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Our guest, I thought you were Julene Jordan, but I will introduce you in 1 second, although we've been saying that you were going to be here all along. Well, maybe since we shouldn't hold people in suspense. It's Carol Oppenheimer. She's a lawyer and labor activist, and she was part of Santa Fe's living wage ordinance campaign. And I just wanted to say, though, that we're broadcasting live through the facilities of KTRC, and we're going to be here, let's see, right up till 3 o'clock, back tomorrow as well, noon to 3, that's Mountain Time. Do the math for the rest of it. Normally we say it is 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a big country, folks, and actually people are listening all around the world, so I find out that the other day that had someone listening in London, England, they said they were writing an article on wine tasting, and they were up at 4:30 in the morning, London time. All right, let's go to our guest, Carol Oppenheimer. And thanks, Carol, for joining me on the Peter Werby Show.
My pleasure.
What a concept that you have to have a living wage, huh?
That is a concept.
Yeah.
And one that a lot of people in the business community had a great deal of trouble understanding.
Well, I know. Usually they like low wages. Now, why is this? It says the person that suggested you said this was the first for the United States. I thought there was lots of living wage ordinances around the country.
Well, there are a lot of living wage ordinances, about 90, that require government contractors, city government contractors, to pay a living wage as a condition of getting funding from the city.
Right.
But Santa Fe is the first city in the country where there's a requirement that all businesses of a certain size, and I can go into that in a minute, have to pay a living wage to their workers. So it's not contingent.
Oh, it's not just city contractors.
Right. It's not city contractors and city grantees. And, in fact, Santa Fe passed that version of the living wage ordinance a year ago, at the end of February, the sort of garden variety living wage ordinance, and that was passed by the city council unanimously. So that's something to be very proud of. But this year, seven of our eight city councilors took the big next step and passed a living wage ordinance, which is not contingent on city funding.
I know where I live in Detroit, there's a living wage. And it usually, I mean, what is under these ordinances considered a living wage barely even rates that.
Well, it's true here, too. I mean, we're starting at $8.50, and that's going to go into effect in January of the coming year. And then there will be a study 18 months after that goes into effect to make sure that all the doom and gloom predicted by some of the businesses does not come to pass. And we're confident that the study is not going to fulfill their dire predictions, but in fact, it's going to show that we have a more productive and a more healthy community. And then 2 years later, it goes up to $9.50, and then 2 years after that, it goes up to $10.50. And it applies not to all businesses in the private sector, but all businesses with 25 or more employees. One good thing is that counted within that number of 25 are both temporary workers and part-time workers. So that very good. And what it means is that actually in Santa Fe, which is a community of small businesses, about 90% of all businesses. I'm sorry, 9%. Let's put it the other way. Only 9% of the businesses will be covered. But of those covered, they include 60% of all the employees in town. Mm-hmm. So that there are a number of small businesses which we do hope will voluntarily comply with these requirements, but they are not mandated to by law.
Well, Carol Oppenheimer, tell us about the doom and gloom, because always, for instance, even on a national level, this pathetic excuse for a minimum wage here in the wealthiest country in the world, $5.15 an hour? Isn't that still what it's stuck at?
$5.15.
And those brave Democrats talking about raising it to $6.15, mm-hmm. and the Republicans start yelling, class war! You're going to create all this unemployment, and you're always, trying to take money from the people, the creative entrepreneurs of the world. So the gloom and doom is, though, that if you raise the minimum wage, let alone raise it to a living wage, that you're going to drive businesses out, and you're going to ruin businesses. You're going to make them lay off workers.
That's right.
That's the doom and gloom.
That's the doom and gloom. And we've had a number of economists look at Santa Fe, but look at other places, too, that say that, in fact, there's no doom and gloom. And, in fact, by putting more money into the pockets of those that don't have the ability to save money, that we're actually going to spend more money in our community and actually give a jolt to the economy and make it a more healthy economy for everybody because people have more dollars to spend here locally.
I know you're not an economist, but I've always wondered why countries that aren't the wealthiest countries in the world, particularly in Europe, can have minimum wages. Actually, do you know exactly? I think some of them are around $11 an hour, I think in Germany.
I think that's right. And then they have a lot more time, paid time for vacation and leisure and time for people to spend with their families and contributing more to the community. So we're hoping, you started this discussion by saying, well, is this really a living wage? And I think that all of us that have been involved with the Santa Fe Living Wage Network agree that $8.50 is not a living wage, mm-hmm. but it's a lot better than $5.15, and
sure.
we are taking the step in the right direction. And what's been very exciting in this community is the incredible outpouring of support for this and a sense of how unfair it is that we have a whole group of people in our community that work two and three jobs and still don't have time to spend with their family and barely have time to pay for the basic necessities of life.
I was always taken by these images during the 90s. Remember that back in the 20th century?
Yeah.
Where they had these high-tech firms, dot-com firms out in California that they were just, the owners were throwing these lavish parties. They were giving secretaries $25,000 bonuses. And the staff, the support staff, like the janitors and all that, they were living in garages, sometimes two families. in there. And somebody way, I'm trying to think which of the guests, I think it was our host, Willem Malton, although I shouldn't put words in anyone's mouth, that it's about distribution of income.
Right.
And that has such a bad sound to conservatives. They say, oh, you're going to take money from the people that are, you know, they've built this country and have built their businesses and putting it in the hands that people don't have the creative skills. Well, that kind of strict individualist view, I think, is selfish, and if that doesn't matter to you, ultimately doesn't wind up working very well for our society or for our communities.
Well, this is really, I mean, we're seeing that just today in the paper with Bush's effort to perpetuate trickle-down economics by saying we're going to cut taxes and we're going to really take away some very hard services by cutting back on the budget, and that somehow all that money in the pockets of the very rich is going to ultimately trickle down. And I'm very proud to be part of a community here in Santa Fe where people are saying that's not the way it works. We have to at least provide a floor to people and try to reduce the disparity in wealth between the very rich and the very poor.
And you know, coming from a city that in many ways is a polar opposite from Santa Fe, that's Detroit where I live, and the kind of problems we have there, that the IE America Radio Network is in an area that looks like a war zone, literally, with burned out shells of houses, desperate people on the street. I mean, you can come out of a restaurant, even similar to this fine establishment, and just find three desperate-looking men, you know, asking for money. Beggars are everywhere. People sleep on the streets. And, and you have an infant mortality rate inside the city of Detroit. It's like a third-world country. At least the Roman Empire, where they gave bread and circuses. This is solely circuses. So all of this eventually comes home to roost.
Right. I mean, the people that came out to support the living wage were talking about trying to reduce the disparity in wealth, because when you have that kind of great disparity where you have gated communities and people living in very poor conditions, that it causes more crime. And if you don't have families that can stay together and stay home with their kids and do activities, it does increase crime and all sorts of other problems, drug abuse. And so we see the living wage as just one economic tool to try to make this a better community for everybody. And I just want to go back for a second
Sure.
to this doom and gloom, because this is...
Oh,
good.
Play,
all right.
Go
so, well, I mean, I think if you look at the whole history of our country, which I've been kind of just interested in more and more and reading a lot more history recently.
I know where you're going with this.
Go ahead. Do you want to answer it or should I?
Every time people wanted social change, they said it was going to be
right.
the end of everything.
I mean,
free the slaves.
Free the slaves.
You're going to let these women vote.
That's right. Or you're going to abolish child labor, or you're going to introduce anti-discrimination laws, or you're going to pass an OSHA law that protects workers from injury. Every single time they say, oh my goodness, we're going to have to shut down our businesses, we're going to have to move away. And it's, you know, it doesn't happen. I mean, if anything, it makes it a better, we know it makes it a better country. And particularly in Santa Fe, where we have a tourist economy, people aren't going to move away. I mean, tourism is not going to take place in Cuba, New Mexico. There's no it's a beautiful place, but there's no infrastructure. So businesses are not going to close down. And at the very worst, what they might do is add a little bit more onto the prices that they pass on to some of their consumers. Although, frankly, I mean, you take a hotel, some of the larger hotels in this town, they are charging New York City rates for tourists that are coming from New York City. But unlike the hotels
Detroit.
In New York or
yeah.
Detroit, but unlike hotels probably in Detroit and I know in New York City, these hotels are not unionized. So more of the profits stay in the pockets of the owners of these hotels rather than are spread to the workers.
And if you don't, for a second, I'll just ride my usual hobby horse. All those people that would predict a doom and gloom if you let women vote or if you had civil rights or ended slavery all had the political philosophy of... conservatives, right?
I don't disagree.
Yeah, no, I know. I've always said that. What do conservatives historically want to conserve? They want to conserve the colonies as a British possession. They want to conserve slavery. They wanted to conserve an all-male vote.
The big trusts that we had
yeah.
before the first Teddy Roosevelt came into power.
They wanted to conserve non-union labor,
right.
You know, big struggle in the
30s. Child labor.
Child labor, no health standards whatsoever.
Right.
like that. But there must be something good that these folks have wanted to conserve. Ethical value. No, they're not doing real good with that either, are they? Now we got Bill Bennett and all that. Well, Carol Oppenheimer, I want to thank you so much for having joined us. And congratulations to all of you. I mean, you're lucky to have people like Carol and so many of the rest of you here in this town that have activists in every phase of our lives in a community. And, you know, that's a strange word, activist. I sometimes hate to be called, like, you're an activist, like you're some odd person, as opposed to somebody that takes part in the affairs of this world, in the affairs of your community. And that's something we should all be, because that's what democracy is all about.
Well, I like to, as an activist, and I'm very proud of the word, because I think activism means we're breathing and we're okay. alive. And so tomorrow night, it just so happens that at the NEA building, and everybody knows where that is, or you can ask me afterwards, we're having another meeting of the Santa Fe Living Wage Network starting at 7 o'clock to talk about next steps. And if you can't make that but you want to know what's going on and contact us and get on our email list, if you're not, go to www.santafelivingwage.org. And thank you so much for having me on
the show.
Thank
you, Carol. Thanks for coming by. All right. And we actually have someone else that wants to speak to us as well. We've been doing almost all live. In fact, gee, I think we've only had one phone call. Well, that's good. You folks can hang back for a while. Come on, quick. We've got to get you over here. Time is a rushing by. And we have a guest. Unfortunately, Jolene Jordan is not on the line with us, but here is someone else who's from Miami, Florida, just like Jolene. Hi, what's your name?
My name is Adrienne Hohenberg.
Hi, Adrienne. And what do you want to say?
Well, it's a joy to be here in Santa Fe. It's been a long time since I've been here. And I'm starting to move here. I'm going to transition finally after a long period of time of wanting to. And it's such a joy to hear about the activism that goes on here and the kind of positivism that there is here. And one of the things that I was thinking of, as I do activism also in Miami, which is sort of a place where you really need it. And, of course, we have the brother of the president there, and I won't belabor you all with the whole Chad business. But what came to mind was how important it is to stay positive. You were talking about this, and, you know, I was thinking in my own life how I do activism both environmentally and I work with developmentally disabled children. And in Florida, we have one of the largest budgets in the nation, and yet we're just about the bottom of the list for funding for this population. And so it's constantly a fight. And it's, you know, it's very easy to get pessimistic, and it's real easy to become like that. But I think that one of the things that a group of us get together, we do it individually and we do it separately, is we pray. We pray a lot. And we're very busy in our lives. And one of the ways that I think we can affect change, and some people like to protest in different ways. There's many different ways to protest. And I think of prayer as a form of protest, because I think that, I really do. And I think that that would be something that people should do in their daily life. And when they think about prayer, they should pray for all the kingdoms on the planet, including the earth, because if you want a sustainable environment, you have to think about protecting the earth also.
Sure.
So I think that's a very important thing. And I just wanted to share that with everybody, that rather than being pessimistic, put it to positive use.
Absolutely. Right now, George W. Bush has the average people on a race to the bottom. And that's what we have to stop. And as long as we say little or do nothing, and this is not the town to lecture people about that in, because you folks are just exemplary. But a lot of people cross... I'm sorry, I was kind of rushing you through because I thought we were through with this segment. Actually, I think we are about right now, Adrian. Mm-hmm. But there are people that tell me they sit and they curse at what we call foxhole news. Mm-hmm. Or they sit and... say, I can't believe that Bill O'Reilly said on television. I think, they're watching this? They're spending their time, their precious time? You know, every once in a while, I think, maybe I've never seen Bill O'Reilly. And I've rarely ever watched Foxhole News, because I'm too busy, you know, doing stuff that's positive, that's with the people that are actually taking up the struggle, taking up the fight for a better world, and living my life, than sit around and watching these people that are the opposite of what we want to achieve. Adrienne, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with our final segment. We're broadcasting live from Santa Fe.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the charts.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Steffen should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the city's will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Are you worried that the road less traveled is a dead end? I feel your pain. It's not easy to be positive and happy and peaceful in a world that's so often negative and filled with war and hatred and SARS, but we can do it together. Join me, Nancy Skinner, for a radio evolution. It's Nancy Skinner's radio Vox Populi, that's Voice of the People. It's a program where people talk about the world around us and the one we want to create.
That's Nancy Skinner's radio Vox Pop, weekdays from 10 to noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Tired of talk radio sounding like a propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Well, so am I. This is Peter Werbe, and I've moved my program to 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time weekdays. Join me as I expose the Grand Oil Party's plans to pay off their corporate paymasters by making this country a permanent warfare state while destroying the environment and attacking the rights of women and working people in the process. So tune by the show, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and join me, Peter Werbe, as we make plans to take back our country.
Welcome back to the Peter Werbe Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to our last segment here at the... Whoa, I was in... Oh, the music went off. That's why. Hi. Hi, Jillian Jordan.
You're at the Cloud Cliff Cafe.
We're at the Cloud Cliff Cafe.
Bakery.
bakery. Oh. And I'm just eating some of this bread. In fact, this bread is sitting here. And I was only managed a bite or two. And I'm salivating. Hey, actually, we have another guest up here from the Santa Fe activist community. You feel okay with that? It's Peggy Prince, is it?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Thank you very much.
And tell us what you're doing at Peace Action New Mexico.
Well, Peace Action New Mexico is part of the National Peace Action Organization. We're an affiliate. And I wanted to thank you for having Agnes Moses on, the president of the Santa Fe NAACP. She was at our annual Peace Ole community gathering.
Like in Peace Ole?
Peace Ole.
Yeah, cool.
And she introduced former Representative Cynthia McKinney for us. She was our keynote speaker this year.
Oh, good, good. Cynthia McKinney sure got the hatchet job done on her.
Yeah,
she
certainly did. And she, I think my personal opinion is that it was really sort of a blessing in disguise because
really?
Of the fact that she now has a much wider voice. I mean, she is doing speaking engagements almost every day in different places.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So we were real happy to have her. And we're going to try to get Howard Zinn next year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. He expressed interest, and we're going to be really interested in having him here.
Well, this is an incredible community and an incredible, model for the, you know, it's hard to get going. It's hard when you're like these scattered individuals, even if you're in a large metropolitan area where you think a lot of this would go on, is how do we link up to people? Because public life has almost been eliminated. We're supposed to work, go home, watch television, and make a few forays out to the mall. And that's the loyal citizen of the empire.
Well, interestingly enough, the reason why we have such a great activist community is because of groups like People for Peace, which was started back in 1991 around the first Gulf
mm-hmm.
War, and many other wonderful peace groups. We've just had wonderful results with this, from what you can tell with all the No War bumper stickers all over town.
And we've got No War bumper stickers for free right here if you're at the Cloud Cliff Cafe. Peggy, that's our final theme. So thank you so much for joining me on the Peter Werby Show. And congratulations to what you and everyone here in the Santa Fe area is doing. Hey, by the way, we're going to be broadcasting again live from the same venue, Cloud Cliff Cafe. So if you missed me yesterday, or today rather, you can come tomorrow as well. Jalene Jordan, thank you.
Absolutely, and plenty of good guests again tomorrow.
And what we're supposed to do is thank everybody by name that helped make this show happen. And I got to get a list because we didn't do it by ourselves. So we'll do all our big thank yous tomorrow. And thanks to all of you that showed up here at the Cloud Cliff. It's wonderful. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here